So with that, this is it. Thanks for joining me, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. I've been running hard. Running hard. But you got my ticket for the whole time. Start me up, baby, start me up, never stop. You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
Grab the oil, gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So let's start it up,
start it up.
You want to start again? All you got. I can't compete with the riders and the elite. Either rough it up,
rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry,
cry.
To make a grown man cry,
cry.
To make a grown man cry,
cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
This is the Quality News Network. At the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today, the judge dismissed one of the jurors because she was exposed to a media account of the trial over the weekend. The judge allowed the deliberations to continue with 11 jurors. On an unannounced stop in Pakistan, Vice President Dick Cheney warned today that Al-Qaeda is regrouping there, specifically in the remote border area near Afghanistan. He asked for Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf's assistance in fighting the militants. Afterwards, Cheney traveled to Afghanistan, but his meeting with Afghan President Hamid Karzai was canceled because of bad weather. Britain will send 1,400 extra troops to Afghanistan, according to the British Defense Secretary. The troops will be part of the NATO force, which is expecting a Taliban resurgence this spring. The Iraqi cabinet has approved a draft of the oil law today, which will now go to the parliament. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki missed the previous deadline for the law, which was promised by the end of 2006. The Iraqi vice president was wounded this morning in an assassination attempt in Baghdad. Insurgents bombed a government building, killing 12 people and wounding 42. Near a police station in Ramadi today, a suicide car bomber killed at least 13 people. It was the second bombing in the area in less than a week. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani was taken to a hospital in Amman, Jordan, after he fell ill Sunday in his hometown in northern Iraq. The 73-year-old is in stable condition. Officials say he is suffering from exhaustion and lung inflammation. The U.S. military also reported that a large weapons cache was found over the weekend near Bakuba. It reportedly contained components for sophisticated roadside bombs, which may have come from Iran. The five permanent UN Security Council members, along with Germany, met today in London to come up with stronger sanctions against Iran. Last week, Iran ignored the UN deadline to halt its nuclear program. The snow and ice storm that hit the Midwest Sunday moved to the East Coast today. Hundreds of thousands of customers in the Midwest lost power. And at New York's JFK Airport today, hundreds of flights were canceled. The U.S. Post Office may soon hike the price of a stamp to 41 cents. That's up 2 cents. Today, a Postal Regulatory Commission recommended the increase in first-class postage. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Researchers say a new breath test can detect lung cancer even in the early stages of the disease. However, the experimental device has produced too many false positives for it to be put into use at this point. Former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, warned today that a U.S. recession could happen by the end of the year. After an 18-month test run, The Gap will close its Fourth and Town stores. The concept, aimed at women over the age of 35, cost the San Francisco-based clothing retailer $40 million. A report in the Financial Times today indicated that Daimler Chrysler is considering a stake in General Motors that would involve the sale of Chrysler to GM. In the past 2 weeks, gasoline prices have gone up nearly 13 cents a gallon. According to the Lundberg survey, nationwide, the average price for a gallon of unleaded gas is $2.35. Sony will introduce a cheaper Blu-ray disc player this summer. It will cost about $600 compared to the nearly $1,000 model currently on the market. At last night's Oscars, the Boston mob drama The Departed won Best Picture and Martin Scorsese won Best Director. Former Vice President Al Gore's movie An Inconvenient Truth was awarded Best Documentary. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $61.39 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 15 points, NASDAQ down 11, S&P 500 down 2. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is a Wednesday evening, early evening where I am. And for those of you freezing, I regret to inform you that this date gets marked on the calendar here in the northwest corner of Alabama in the last hills and foothills and low knee hills of the Appalachian Range. This calendar gets the calendar date for today gets circled the 21st of February 2007 because it became necessary to turn on the air conditioner. Yeah, really. Been doing a lot of work around the house, trying to get things straightened up, packed away, put away, thrown away. And it got so hot, not because the heat was on, because it wasn't, that I had to turn on the air conditioner. But, you know, just because I'm turning on the air conditioner on the 21st day of February 2007 doesn't mean that there's any sort of artificial warming of the planet. So, you know, please don't be alarmed. But most importantly and foremost, you know, of course, that today being Wednesday, well, you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
It is our Wednesday afternoon discussion club. It is, in fact, prayer meeting, the prayer meeting edition of Head On, as it is every Wednesday, while the right-wing fundamentalists are out there utterly perverting the message of various and sundry religious folk from 2,000 years ago and on back. Well, we're going to have a little fun with them, and somewhere along the way, maybe take a look at some of their excesses. You are welcome to bring your right-wing religious horror stories to the fore, to the front this evening, because that's what the evening's about. But, he said, but, I want to pick up where I left off last night, because, among other things, you know, I take pride in the fact that my ego is not so large that I will not admit when I have made a mistake. And I did, in fact, make a mistake yesterday evening toward the end of the program in talking about the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals decision that says that, if you've been picked up and thrown in Guantanamo, you cannot look to the courts of the United States for anything approaching justice. And I referenced in the course of that discussion, Judge Janice Rogers Brown, and I still think I didn't get a chance to check, but I think she is on the D.C. Circuit. But she was not responsible for the jurisprudential horror that was that decision. No, it was someone else entirely, and I've got our friends over at TVNewsLies.org to thank for pointing it out, because it was someone even worse. It wasn't Janice Rogers Brown. It was none other than Circuit Judge David Brian Sentell. It was he and Judge A. Raymond Randolph. He's A. Raymond Randolph, not the Raymond Randolph. He and A. Raymond Randolph got together to cobble up a 2-1 decision that, if you give a damn about the Constitution of the United States, should absolutely have you quaking. According to Judge David Brian Sentell, if George Bush wants to throw someone in prison from now until doomsday, that's his business, because after all, he is our dear leader, and Congress gave him the power to do it. Who? Well, you remember, 13 mugwump Democrats in the Senate of the United States did it. My senator, West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller, helped do that, and a number of others. But David Brian Sentell was responsible for this, and just to give you a little idea of who Judge Sentell is, do you remember, oh God, what was his name? Had a thing for pornography, liked to write, thousand-page tomes of legalistic-sounding porno, Star, Kenneth Starr. Remember Kenneth Starr? America was subjected to the witch hunt as put forward by Kenneth Starr, thanks to none other than David Brian Sentell. In point of fact, what he did was he replaced Robert Fisk as lead independent counsel on the Bill Clinton investigation. The investigation we had to have because a Democrat had actually been elected president over an incumbent Republican. Come on, be reasonable. That's reason enough to start investigating the man, isn't it? He'd bought property once upon a time, and there was a failed land deal. So, my God, we got to have $70 million of the tax, or $700 million. I forget. Enough money, a lot of money spent trying to find out who Bill Clinton was or was not having sex with, or buying land from, or not buying land from. And for how many years, thanks to Judge David Brian Sentell, were we subjected to the filth, the fascination with consensual sex, for heaven's sake, consensual sex, that was the Kenneth Starr investigation? Yeah, that David Brian Sentell. Who else is David Brian Sentell? Well, as they note over at TVNewsLies.org, this is also the rotten little sleazebag who, in the company of Lawrence Silberman, voted to overturn the convictions of none other than Oliver North and John Poindexter. Judge David Brian Sentell is a right-wing Republican water carrier of the worst sort. So it should come as no surprise to find out that he's the guy who hands us an appeals court affirmation of the Bush administration's right to imprison anyone they want for any reason they want, any time they want, anywhere they want, and as an added bonus, to be able to tell those people who have been tortured, imprisoned, what have you, that you need a lawyer? You don't need no stinking lawyer. You don't get no stinking lawyer. You get a kangaroo court trial. We're going to give you a nice fair trial, and then we're going to find you guilty and hang you, okay? That's what Judge David Brian Sentell thinks constitutes. God, I can't believe I live in a country where this is America. No, that's what he thinks constitutes constitutional law. You know, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy was in front of the testifying in front of Congress a week ago, and he begged for higher salaries for federal judges because he said the low salaries for federal judges are keeping the really talented students of the law from having any interest in the federal bench. Is Judge David Brian Sentell the proof in the pudding for Justice Kennedy's assertion thereupon? Is this what you get? Is this what happens because we don't have real constitutional scholars on the bench? Imagine that. This is not an echo chamber, and we don't all agree all of the time. But my God, even right-wingers, you've got to sit back for a minute and think. This isn't just applying to George Bush. This applies to the future if this law is upheld. Hey, wingnuts, it applies to you. Because we've gone over the torture bill and the habeas corpus provisions thereof on this program, and we know for a fact that the government is allowed to hold anyone for any reason, for any length of time, among other reasons, so long as they say that they can't determine citizenship. And how would they be able or not able? I know she's a 78-year-old grandmother, great-grandmother, but, you know, we get... I know she's got blue hair. We know. But that doesn't mean she's not Al-Qaeda, and we're not certain that really is her identity, so we're going to have to hold her for a little while. Oh, you'd like for the family to come see? No, sorry, the family come. We're not going to tell you where she is. It's in the law. It's been upheld. Go read the opinion by Judges Sentell and A. Raymond Randolph. They'll tell you. So that is who is responsible for affirming the loss of one of the most fundamental liberties we have under the Constitution of the United States. Let's go back for just a minute to a radical liberal by the name of Thomas Jefferson. He wrote to a man named A.H. Rowan in 1798, and he said simply, "The habeas corpus secures every man here, alien or citizen," that's important, "alien or citizen, against everything which is not law, whatever shape it may assume." Hear that again. The habeas corpus secures every man here, alien or citizen, against everything which is not law, whatever shape it may assume. Pretty sweeping, isn't it? In his first inaugural address, Thomas Jefferson said, "Freedom of the person under the protection of the habeas corpus, I deem one of the essential principles of our government." And he went on, this was a little bit earlier. Yeah, apparently habeas corpus meant a lot to Thomas Jefferson. He said to James Madison in 1787, the Bill of Rights should provide clearly and without the aid of sophisms for the eternal and unremitting force of the habeas corpus laws. The eternal and unremitting force of the habeas corpus laws. He also said to James Madison in correspondence, the following addition to the Bill of Rights would have pleased me. No person shall be held in confinement more than blank days after he shall have demanded and been refused a writ of habeas corpus by the judge appointed by law, nor more than blank days after such a writ shall have been served on the person holding him in confinement, and no order given on due examination for his remandment or discharge, nor more than blank hours in any place of a greater distance than blank miles from the usual residence of some judge authorized to issue the writ of habeas corpus, nor shall that writ be suspended for any term exceeding 1 year, nor in any place more than blank miles distant from the station or encampment of enemies or of insurgents. You know, that's probably enough that would, maybe Michelle Malkin or Bill O'Reilly would call Thomas Jefferson a terrorist for that kind of talk. But then again, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison had come through a period of, you know, it wasn't history to them, baby, it was just life. But they had come through a period of time where people were disappeared by British troops, Hessians, mercenaries, folks, the kind of folks who knock on doors in the middle of the night. So they understood that a legal principle whereby an independent judge could take a hard look at why a person was imprisoned and make sure that it was at least legal. See, that at the end of the day, that's what's so critical about this particular rotten, stinking piece of anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-democratic legislation. Habeas corpus presupposes that some judge somewhere will take a look at an issue of arrest and confinement and can at least make sure that there is a legal reason for doing so. That's not a very high standard. Habeas corpus isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is a right to ask somebody who is supposed to independently know and apply the law, you know, is it legal that they're doing this to me? Now, I got to tell you the truth, the federal court system being what it is in this country, habeas corpus doesn't get anybody very far anymore. But there is at least the possibility that if a horrible, horrible mistake was made, say, you know, Homeland Security's after A.T. Mustafa and they go and they arrest A.T. Mufasa, that Mr. Mufasa could ask the federal judiciary, why am I being held? And the federal judiciary could go, well, oh, look, it says Mustafa, but you got Mufasa. Let him go! Or it's a guy named Kincaid thereafter, named K-I-N-C-A-D-E, and they come get me, and I'm K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Let him go! That is gone. Judge David Brian Sentell and A. Raymond Randolph have said that some poor schlub doesn't even have the right to ask a court to determine whether or not the cops have the right guy. So that Mr. Mufasa stays in prison while Mr. Mustafa goes free and the Homeland Security Department or the FBI or the CIA or any of the other more than a dozen federal security agencies, or maybe it's just your local hometown police force, or maybe it's your county sheriffs or your state troopers, they don't have to worry about it. And remember, they're not sure of your identity, so as long as they're not sure of your identity, it doesn't even matter that you're an American! This is what Judge David Brian Sentell has foisted upon America. Well, not entirely. A whole bunch of gutless members of the United States Senate and a bunch of gutless, terrified, America-hating Republican members of the House of Representatives, they did it to you. Does it matter right now? Is it going to matter in 5 minutes? Is it going to matter 10 minutes from now, an hour from now, tomorrow, next week, or next month? Maybe not, but at some point it will matter to you or someone you love. And then what? And then what? Well, according to Circuit Judge David Brian Sentell, you can lump it and like it. And shut the hell up, or they'll do it to you, too. This is disturbing in the extreme. This is not the beginning of the end of American freedom. It's a big chunk right smack dab in the middle of the end of American freedom. The Patriot Act was its daddy. 9/11 was its mama. It was midwifed by the Project for a New American Century. And it is... You know, it would be so much simpler if Judge David Brian Sentell would just, you know, and he doesn't work that far from it. Just drive over to the Jefferson Memorial and hocker up a big old loogie and spit it right in that statue's face. That's what Judge David Brian Sentell and A. Raymond Randolph think of Mr. Jefferson. Habeas corpus secures every man here, alien or citizen, against everything which is not law, whatever shape it may assume. Whatever shape. What kind of shape? How about the shape of a war on terror? How about the shape of just bowel-watering fear that they hate it because we have home mortgages? Every shape it may assume. Every man here, alien or citizen, man or woman. So that is where we begin this evening. Chime in with your phone calls if you wish. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. My email, of course, is bob@headonradio.com. You're welcome to use it. We'll be back. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Princess Card, she sends me with her regards. Oh, borrow my shine vacancy to see her, you gotta look hard. Wounded deep in battle, I stand scoffed like some soldier undaunted. To her Cheshire smile, I'll stand on file. She's all I ever wanted. You let your blue walls get in the way of these facts, honey. Get your carpetbaggers off my back. Go give me time to cover my tracks. Here's your mirror and your phone jacks. But then I thought I came for. Oh, I came for so much more. And I know you know that too. And I know you know that too. Shh.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio
at the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and we go immediately to the phones. Gene joins us from Hillsboro, Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, it's been an interesting day.
Sometimes I'm not so crazy about the interesting ones sometimes.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it was just, I should have known when the guys threw up on the Mac that it was going to be just interesting. That's not why I called. If those of you were listening to me last week on Mark Levine, I said I was going to go in and see my senators, and I'm still trying to get there. And I guess what I'm calling about, I want to know if I'm just paranoid or if this sounds fishy. I mean, I had to go downtown to the World Trade Center here, and that's where Senator Smith. Sorry. office is in those buildings there. So I had a meeting I had to go to, and then after I asked where he was, and I was told across the street, so I went across the street. And I'm looking around, and I pop into a couple of offices, and the one office, I didn't even know he was there. Then I went into a savings and loan, and I said, do you happen to know how I can get to Senator Smith's office? Oh, you can't get to him from this building. You have to, the elevators won't go on that floor. You have to go back over to the other building where I was and then come through the sky bridge and go through a security checkpoint. Now, I can understand security in Washington, D.C., you know, but this is my senator in my, it's not the cat, you know, in Oregon's major city. You know, it's not like Portland is New York, It's Portland. Am I being paranoid? Would, is it just, am I thinking this is just outrageous because I'm, you know, when you go to see Senator Ray Hall or Senator Byrd, what kind of procedures do you have to go through?
Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Nothing like that at all. That's, but then again, I don't think these people want to be bothered with their constituents very much.
No, I don't either. That's the feeling.
And
that
in particular, particularly in your case.
Yeah, and that's the feeling I got, and it's like, you know, this kind of really irks me because you watch things that are going on with the Republicans, especially, and a lot of people, I think, well, that's just Washington. That doesn't really affect me down here. But I think it does, and it irritates me because I'm beginning to feel like I'm not really. He doesn't see me as one of his constituents. I bet he's got some private number he has for the real constituents that donate and stuff.
No, I was going to say, you mean the people who write checks?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So I'm going to try and go back down tomorrow. And
well, that's what it's going to take, Gene. Sadly, is persistence. And you're going to have to keep butting up against the walls and against the desire to avoid you if you're going to be heard. And I obviously you have a right to be heard.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to take a shower before I go down there, so you can't have that excuse. So, anyway, I just thought I'd update you guys, and I'll let you know how it goes the next 2 days. Maybe, who knows when I get it tomorrow, maybe it'll be no big deal. Maybe they'll just issue me a visitor's pass and I can go through. But it's weird because Senator Smith has a reputation of being disabled friendly, but his offices don't seem like they are, but who knows?
Yeah, not. Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to be friendly to the disabled when you're talking about it. It's another thing entirely. You know, he wants to be disabled friendly to you at a distance, Gene.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling. So, I just wanted a second opinion whether or not I was making too big of a deal out of it. But anyway, I'll let you know how it goes.
Well, and you know what? I would go ahead and use his email function as well, and say, you know, I wanted to come by and speak to your staff, but be very very nice about it and say, but you know what? You don't make it very easy for a disabled person to get there.
No, not really. So, I mean, I suppose the elevator. I'm sure he provides the elevator. That's fine, but the security checkpoint that really has got me. That's the thing that, I mean, am I going to get wanded when I walk through the door or something like that?
Right. And hope that that's all.
Yeah.
All right, Gene, thanks so much. Have a great evening.
Sure, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And on to our good friend Sarge down in southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
And I thought this might be appropriate for prayer meeting tonight.
All right.
Been to the mountaintop, and I found out they removed it.
Yeah, you've been up our way.
Now, Liz, I wanted to pass on the story, but first, let me get some business out of the way. Remember, we still have the drive trying to get Judy that house going on.
Mm-hmm.
So drop in unreportednews.net and help us get this woman to home. Also, Veterans for Peace is coming down to Pascagoula. They're making a caravan called the Our Troops Are in the Wrong Gulf Caravan. And they're going to be coming through from Lejeune, North Carolina, on to Pascagoula. And they're going to stay several days with Jim Yancey and help him out some while they're there. So,
wonderful.
He's putting their itinerary out so everybody can see it. Head On has a copy of it, and I understand it's going to be on Head On as well. So, let's support these people, and if you're around their area, drop in the caravan with them. They'd be happy to have you join them.
That would be, you know, that's a really that's an exciting little trip that's being organized there. I can't wait to see how it works out.
It is, and I'm really grateful to them and Phil. Phil was a big part of how it all started around. He got me in contact with them, and we've had some really good discussions. I got them in with Jim Yancey. They've been down several times, visited with Jim, and they really hooked up with Jim well, and I think it's just going to be something really, really good, and I'm excited about it. I hope I'm able to get down there. Of course, my transportation problems, you know, but
right.
But it's really something I'm looking forward to. Also, I wanted to tell you a little story of something that just happened to me just a little while ago. There's
okay.
a policeman that I had a little encounter with that through the nursing home situation, and I bumped into him today, and he asked me if I'd been drinking because of the way I was walking. And I laughed at him. I said, well, no, matter of fact, I don't drink. I'm walking the way I do because I screwed my legs up serving this country. And I'm crippled. And I'm walking because you good folks won't bother giving me a ride to the store. That's why.
And how did that play with him?
He was really hostile about it. But now he's a black man, which is really funny because I've watched him ever since he started, and they used to send him on calls specifically with it in mind that he probably wouldn't survive those calls. And there are still people in this town that would just as soon see him blown away as they would look at him. They hate him with a passion because he's the wrong color. And yet he's bought into all of this Kool-Aid. I guess he must be getting cases of Kool-Aid because he's just bought into it all. He told me that Homeland Security was a wonderful outfit, that they were really good people.
Well, as long as they're signing your check, you bet they are.
Well, he's a city cop, and I asked him. I said, "Look,
Homeland Security, remember, Sarge, has insinuated itself all over the United States. There are Homeland Security grants."
Yeah.
That provide part of the partial funding for being able to pay your police force.
Mm. You know, you're right. I didn't think of that. That's absolutely correct. And one thing he did tell me, I was mentioning to him that while I was on the coast last week, that they ran into a problem with the FEMA trailer communities because the city police have no record of who's living in these FEMA trailers, and FEMA will not release the information, neither will Homeland Security, of course, same thing. But, and he said, well, that's not true. And I said, well, actually it is. I said, I've got it from a member of the city board, and they did have to come up with a regulation, having people register in another way so they could find out who was in those FEMA trailers. And he said, oh, that's not true. And I said, look, man. You know, you can believe it if you don't, you want to or not believe it. I don't care, but I'm just asking you what you think about this. Have you ever heard of such? He said, well, I just don't believe it. So, I mean, this guy's drinking the Kool-Aid really bad, you know.
There are still a lot of people in this country who are, Sarge.
Well, you know, and I thought about it on the way home, and I got to thinking, the sad part is this guy's a good man. He is a really good man, and I've watched his career, and he's always been one of those policemen that if he responded, you kind of felt good about it. But mm-hmm. Now he has become just another one of the thugs, you know, and that, you know, kind of left me with a bitter taste in my mouth because I know that these people, if he were to get killed tomorrow in the line of duty, these people would see to it that his family got not one red cent of the insurance.
Well, there's probably truth in what you say, Sarge.
It just, I mean, it really, you know, I hate it for him because he is a good man, and he's just so brainwashed. And I got to wondering, how in the world do people get so brainwashed? And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me. This is Mississippi, especially Columbia, Mississippi, where Walter Payton's father had an epileptic seizure, and because he was known to drink as well as have epilepsy, instead of taking him to the hospital and having him checked to see if it was a seizure instead of being drunk, they threw him in the drunk tank and he died.
Oh, God.
And so, you know, I just think about that, and I said, well, why am I even asking this question? Obviously, these people are so brainwashed around here because I'm the only liberal in town, and they hate me. Oh, geez. I mean, you should see the cops when they see me.
The only one?
Yeah, I'm the only one. I think even in the black community, I'm the only one. Well, there might be one other black. There might be one black person that's a liberal too. I know her. And I think she lives outside of town, so she doesn't really count, in that respect. But it really is scary because I talk to these people. It's like, this guy, and I'm not going to bother hiding his name. He's a disgrace. I'm going to tell his name. Dave Martin from Columbia. And I was talking to him and I said, look, Dave, you've been in the radio business here for a long time. People know you. You've been around since I was a little boy. I remember you well. How about you and me and some of the others get together and let's see if we can get some appliances and some goods that's needed sent to Jackson County. Would you like to be involved in that? He says, well, my church is doing something on it. And so, no, I'm not interested.
There you have it.
And actually, I misquoted it. What he said was, my church did something a while back on it. Okay, I left out a while back.
Oh, a while back?
Yeah.
Oh, we've done our part. It's over. So, no, I'm going to go watch TV. Yeah, okay, that's
nice. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is scary. It really is scary. And I'm going to be honest with you. Democrats may be in control, and there is an improvement. And I know they can't change things overnight. But, you know, Bob, I'm more scared now than I was when the Republicans were in control. I'm more scared of my safety than I was when the Republicans were in control. And that's bad because I don't see
why is that, Sarge?
I don't know, and that's what I want to know. I mean, look, I don't get me wrong. I'm glad the Democrats are in control and there is improvement, but I'm just scared that it has gone so far into fascism that I don't even know, and communism even. See, some of the things they're doing is straight out of Stalin's playbook, you know. And I just wonder if we've gone too far for anybody to stop it.
Well, the legislation can be repealed as far as the habeas corpus and the torture stuff is concerned. Unfortunately, I haven't seen that becoming a hot button issue inside the Congress. One of our problems is that we want it all fixed right now, and we have a right to want it all fixed right now, Sarge. Because there is so much that in the course of 1994, in the course of 12 years of rule in the Congress, the Republican Party screwed up so very much.
Right. And you know, of course, Bob, I'm going to tell you what. It's just like I got this movement going on where I'm trying to have a recall on Haley Barbour, or at least have a petition for redress of grievances on Katrina. And why he is failing on Katrina like he is, make him start facing up to his failures instead of running around lying about it. And do you know, since that got out that I'm doing that, and people are aware of it now, I can see, even that cop today, he wanted to arrest me so bad you could feel it. You could just see he was just looking for an excuse to arrest me. And I lost my billfold a while back in the rain, and I can't get all my stuff reorganized yet, and so I don't have any ID. So, you want to finish the picture?
Well, you've got to. Are you really a citizen, Sarge?
There you go, my friend. That's exactly what scares me. But
well, you know, we're gonna have to hold you without redress to. The rights of habeas corpus until we can determine your citizenship status. You should have had your license, sir.
That's exactly what I was facing in my mind. I could see that being the case, and so instead of really, you know, pressing him to make him back up what he was saying, okay, make him, because he asked me if I'd been drinking, and I said no, I don't drink. I tore my knees up serving in the military, okay. But the first thing I thought about was to ask him. And why do you ask me that? But I knew just that would be just the opening he needed to say, well, we need to take you down to the station, boy.
Well, remember, there's another Supreme Court case that came out a couple of years ago that says that a United States citizen no longer has the right to withhold his identity from a questioning officer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's say you're standing on the street corner and the officer comes up to you and says, I want to see your ID, and you say, what for? Bang.
Well, I tell you how bad it is with us, Leonard Clark and I, we check in with each other regularly, and I talked to Bill in Daytona last night, and I contact everybody ever so often just to let them know that I'm here and I'm safe and that to keep a watch out and in case anything happens to me, and I do that for them as well. And, you know, that's sad. That's really sad because they can pick Leonard Clark up just because he's harassing McCain, you know. And I just,
yeah.
You know, because he's having a recall with McCain, I'm trying to get a recall started on Barber, and so therefore they're going to harass the hell out of us. Look what they're doing to Judy. Jesus Christ, look what they're doing to Judy. You know,
Look what they're doing all over the country, Sarge. I mean, I'm not discounting anything of what you say, but you know, I've got a story in the stack this evening regarding that nasty, rotten, pathetic excuse for a member of the human race, Glenn Beck. This is a quote from him. I don't want to kick a city when it's down, but I mean, we're not even rebuilding it properly, talking about New Orleans. I feel it very difficult, he said, in some ways, to feel bad for New Orleans.
Glenn's an idiot. What can I say?
Yeah, but Glenn's an idiot, and Glenn's a multimillionaire idiot, and CNN is paying him to say this garbage day in and day out.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice about it, Bob, because you know, the last time you brought his name up, I lost my cool.
Well, yeah, you're hanging on, and I do appreciate that, Sarge. But you know, Barrett, please. I mean, we've got to sort of keep our eye on the ball and understand that everywhere we turn, you know, this isn't just, you know, George Bush is a bad man. This is his entire government is harmful. I got a pack of cigarettes in front of me. Let's see, are we warning the pregnant people? Surgeon General's warning: smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. Can we put a banner over the White House, Sarge, that says this administration may be dangerous to your health?
Well, I'm going to tell you, they are dangerous to your health, especially if you're going to military. That's why I'm telling every young person, and I hope everyone that's listening to my voice will listen close. I served in two branches. I served in wartime, and I'm going to tell every young person, stay away. This country hates the veterans. They hate the troops, these leaders. And until they stand up and say, we're going to support our troops. Did you know they got vehicles, those Humvees over there, and they will not be properly equipped? You can read about it at Leonard's column. He got a tip on the story. But they are not equipping these Humvees. And they're very dangerous. They're death traps. Is what they really are. And
well, did you hear what Tony Blair called Baghdad today?
No, I missed that.
He said it is an orgy of violence, an orgy of death and destruction.
Gee, ooh, that's scary, isn't it?
Because yeah, that's George's poodle.
Yeah, that's George's lap dog. I mean, gee, when he starts saying that, George better start worrying on. But Blair better start worrying. You know, those planes, they can explode in the sky. Look,
well,
I'm
yeah,
going to let you go. Thank you. And
all again, right, thank
everybody.
You, Sarge. Have a wonderful evening. Hang in there, and don't let them roust you, okay?
Oh, no, we got to get rid of these people. Let's just hold this to it. We'll see you, Bob. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, let's see. Yeah, about 7 minutes before the hour. Let's go ahead and start a phone call. We may have to carry it over through the news, but Peter joins us from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's good to talk to you, buddy.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you.
So we've had all sorts of interesting things going on down here. My brother-in-law collapsed at church last Saturday morning. He was trying to load something up on a van or a back of a truck.
Is he okay?
Well, yeah, he's... he's in the hospital. They're running all these tests. They can't figure out why he passed out. But the thing is he's got cracked ribs on each side. And what's funny about it, Bob, is that...
Yeah, please.
Well, you know, like when the Muslims die, like you're supposed to go and you're supposed to have like 70 virgins. Okay. Well, Ron,
that's 72. Don't short the virgins.
Did I short
okay?
a couple of virgins? Well, he.
Yeah.
Well, Ron basically quote died. He turned blue and fell down and lost consciousness. But when he came to, he had like 70 little blue-haired ladies pounding him in the chest. Which is, you know, it's probably a much better deal to end up with the virgins. Because the doctors think that the little old ladies broke his ribs.
Oh.
Oh, it's not funny, but it's just a little bit funny. And the poor guy, he's not doing good. But the reason I called was about, do you remember I was raging on about getting hit by Department of Defense packets a while back?
Well, yeah, we did. We talked about that about 3 weeks ago, didn't we?
Well, I sort of let that, I kind of put it on the back burner, didn't think about it much. But over the last 3 or 4 days, I'm suddenly being hit with Halliburton packets. And, this...
What? Whoa. Stop.
As a heart attack, you can trace the IPs back to Halliburton. So I started, trying to, are they, subcontracting it out to Halliburton? Now, this is outrageous. So I looked into it a little further, and all of the Halliburton packets and all of the Department of Defense packets are trying to hit port 1026. Now, of course, the firewall closes port 1026 if you have a good firewall in place.
Is there any special relevance to port 1026?
Yes, it is. It's a host port, and being a host port, it is vulnerable to something called the RPC or Remote Procedure Call DCOM buffer overflow exploit if your machine is unpatched. And a lot of
you just started speaking Martian.
Okay, let me switch it from Martian to something you'll recognize. Remember the blaster worm?
Yeah.
Down computers all over the planet. That was an RPC DCOM exploit. And, and it's, in other words, we've got, you're talking about, our safety and our security in this country. We need to be, I'm more afraid of those people than ever. We have the Department of Defense and Halliburton probing computers exclusively on port 1026, which is one of the ports in the range that is, your host port. Looking for computers, I assume, looking for computers that are unpatched so that they can then, and using this exploit, you can take complete control of the computer. If it's unpatched, you can read the files, you can delete files, you can install software in the background, you can...
Can you turn the computer around and make it do something else like send packets and clone itself, or do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a worm. Well, Blaster was a worm, certainly, that took advantage of that exploit. So if one
well, look, can we go back and talk a little bit? How did you find out that it was Halliburton?
Well, there's this program out there called Peer Guardian, and Peer Guardian is free, and it's that you can just Google Peer Guardian and come up with it. But
Peer Guardian's not for everybody before everybody runs off and starts
Google. It's a little complicated. But what Peer Guardian does is you can, like, they update these lists. Like, they sometimes there's two or three updates a day. And what they do is they come up with the, people keep telling them, who's doing spyware, who's doing adware, who's the RIAA trying to find people downloading music. And also one of their lists is government. So that you can block, in other words, it loads those IP addresses into your machine so that your machine automatically blocks IP addresses from government or from people who make spyware. And it's not a port, it's not a firewall by any means. It's different than a firewall in that it is IP address sensitive. You're filtering out IP addresses. Well, I loaded this out of curiosity, thinking about, the government thing, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. And of course, I had to get rid of the black. It was like blocking the public library, and it was blocking everything, like the county. Okay, so I had to, you have to go through and selectively unblock things that it blocks. Okay, but all of a sudden, I'm starting to see all these Department of Defense packets that it's blocking, and I thought my God, and, you know, and I noticed they were all port 26, and then, but one, or rather 1026, and then time passes, and now all of a sudden, over the last 4 days, I'm getting Halliburton packets from Halliburton in Houston, Texas. You can trace the IP back to Halliburton if you run one of the IP checkers. You know, there's IP lookup yeah. programs are everywhere. It's Halliburton in Houston, Texas. And, you know, but here's where it really gets scary. Okay, I've put on both tinfoil hats now to tell you this. We discovered in the chat room last night, we had people in the chat room, well, let's all run this software and see what's going on. Well, lo and behold, one of our chatters who had something installed called Weatherbug, had opened her port 1026. Now, not all Weatherbugs are bad. There's Weatherbugs and there's Weatherbugs. They're easily modifiable, and, you know, people, you know, get them from TV station news channels, and you can get them from, you know, Weather
Peter,
Channel.
Peter, I've got to interrupt. I'm going to ask you to stand by. I want to continue this after we get done with the news.
Okay.
So remember, we're at Weatherbug.
Weatherbug.
Okay?
Weatherbug.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back, and we'll continue. This is fascinating.
Okay.
I want to sue them.
Well, but, you know, I'm not happy at all. I mean,
that's because I'm a sewer, okay?
I'm all for it. How dare this Halliburton send me a packet? Who the heck think they are?
Enron's next.
Yeah,
all right, we'll be back. Peter, thanks. Hang on for just a few minutes. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid. Phone number 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Reach me at bob@headonradio.com. We will be back after the news from QNN.
This is the Quality News Network. Diplomats from 6 countries agreed in London today to work on a new UN Security Council resolution to pressure Iran to abandon its atomic program. Last week, the country ignored a UN-imposed deadline to stop uranium enrichment work. The UN's nuclear watchdog agency reported Iran instead accelerated its nuclear program. Iran also announced yesterday it has successfully launched a research rocket, showing progress in its space satellites program. Other nations are watching that program carefully. The New Yorker reports the Pentagon is concentrating on its capability to launch airstrikes against Iran within 24 hours of a presidential order. Those preparations could be completed as early as this spring. The article also says American covert operatives have infiltrated Iran several times in recent months. The Pentagon denies the report. Kuwait's largest newspaper says Oman, the United Emirates, and Qatar have told the U.S. they'd be willing to open their airspace to the Israeli Air Force in the event of an attack on Iranian nuclear facilities. The paper also says NATO is pressuring Turkey to do the same. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani is in stable condition today at a Jordanian hospital. His family says the 73-year-old fell ill from exhaustion. Despite the turmoil in the country, Iraq's government today agreed on a plan to divide the country's oil wealth among its citizens. The draft law still faces a vote in parliament, but all major parties agreed to work for its approval. U.S. officials call the issue a key political benchmark to settling the country's divisions. On an unannounced stop in Pakistan today, Vice President Dick Cheney warned that Al-Qaeda is regrouping in Pakistan. Specifically, he said, in a place near the Afghanistan border. He asked for Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf's assistance in fighting the militants. Afterwards, Cheney traveled to Afghanistan, but the meeting with President Hamid Karzai there was canceled because of bad weather. And at the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today, the judge dismissed one of the jurors because she was exposed to media accounts of the trial over the weekend. The judge allowed them to continue anyway. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, You can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Researchers say a new breath test can detect lung cancer even in the early stages of the disease. However, the experimental device has produced too many false positives for it to be implemented at this point. And a computerized heart scan may speed up the diagnosis of patients with chest pains. That will give doctors and patients a quicker answer as to who may have clogged arteries and need more care and who can go home. Social services officials in London today are considering taking an 8-year-old boy away from his mother unless she improves his diet. The boy weighs 218 pounds. Volkswagen will recall 790,000 vehicles in the U.S. because of a faulty brake light switch. The recall involves several models of autos from 1999 to 2006. And according to a company that compiles auto registration data nationwide, the sales growth of hybrid cars has slowed this past year. That could be due to lowered tax credits for Toyota hybrids. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 15 points at 12,632. The NASDAQ was down 11 points at 2505. And the S&P 500 was down 2 points at 1449. There's more, of course, on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I'm Bob. This is Head On. Just a nightly little dust up. Chance to get things said, get things thought through, and occasionally learn something. We're talking with our good friend Peter in Tallahassee, Florida. He's been now a couple of weeks ago. Peter told us about an attempted I'd call it a security attack that he'd noticed coming into. And Peter's our IT professional, so you know, bear in mind, Peter knows what he's talking about, right, Peter?
Well, yeah, I mostly do. If I don't know, I say I don't know. I don't make anything up.
That's right, and so I mean, you know, you jokingly mentioned having your tinfoil helmets on
a little bit ago.
This really,
I do now, and I'll tell you what I know. And you know, I have both tinfoil hats going because it's very suspicious. You know, you start getting packets from the Department of Defense all trying to hit port 1026. And then all of a sudden, here over the last few days, Halliburton is all sending packets, their UDP packets, and which is just it's an internet protocol that you don't have to request. Which they can just send it. And so the thing is they're all hitting port 1026, which is a host port. And host ports are exploitable with various exploits like RPC and DCOM, and for instance the blaster virus is part of that. Now, what we discovered, and here's where it gets really interesting, in the chat room the other night, we discovered we had everybody run this software, and I'll give everybody the address and everybody can run it. It's not anything you have to buy. It's a website, and you go to the site and it will scan all your ports from the outside, and it will hit your computer and it will tell you what ports you have open, or if they're closed, which is good, or if they're stealth, that's even better. So it tells you if they're open, stealth, or closed. Okay, closed is fine. If yours comes up closed, that's no big deal. But open is not good. So In any case, this particular person had a weather bug program installed. Weather bugs are ubiquitous. It's like this little thing that like anchors in your window, and it gives you your, you know, your time and temperature and date and dew point and whatever, all the stuff that weather bugs do. Now, I'm not going to condemn all weather bugs because I don't know all weather bugs, don't even use one, but weather bugs are modifiable in the sense that, you know, you can download a weather bug from your local TV station or radio station or from the big weather bug makers up in the sky, and there's controversy about whether it gives you adware and all that sort of thing. But her weather bug was opening port 1026. You know, so my mind immediately goes to, you know, so what is the National Weather Association in cahoots with, you know, Halliburton / Department of Defense distributing this ubiquitous software that millions of people use that when they install it opens port 1026? And, of course, she removes it and port 1026 closes. You install a firewall, okay, you install a firewall, and firewalls, everybody's seen it, you know, it recognizes certain programs. It'll say, firewall, you know, XYZ has recognized Firefox or Foxfire or whatever, I don't use their browser, but, you know, not there's anything wrong with it, okay?
Yeah.
And it has opened it to the Internet, you know, it allows certain programs out.
Okay? Is this okay?
If it doesn't recognize the program, it will say, is this okay? And it'll say, like, Weatherbug wants to access the Internet. Is this okay? And the person says, sure, it's Weatherbug. I've used it for years. But what you don't know is it just opened port 1026. Now, Weatherbug has got no damn business opening port 1026 and hanging it out there to the universe.
Port 1026 would be necessary in being able tell a user what the barometric pressure is.
It can get its damn internet, it can get its information off port 80 or 8080 or any of the standard internet ports that, you know, all your standard internet web traffic comes in.
So 1026 really is sort of one of the double secret probation ports.
It's in the lower range of ports, and it's in a particular range of ports that are not good to have open. In fact, none of your lower ports are good to have open, but ports of 1026, there's some others, the 1027, in that range. In fact, any port that is just plain open is not good. You want to have them closed, and only certain programs can access it, you know, trusted program. So, you know, I'm security experts, I mean, like, that's like a whole, you know, educational factor in itself. I mean, you know, there are people who train, who go to school to learn security. And I have, you know, I'm a generalist. I have to do a lot of different things for a lot of different people. So I'm not a quote security expert, but I do know a few things. And I know that, you know, you shouldn't have your port 1026 flapping in the breeze. And I know that millions of people are downloading Weatherbug. Now, I'm not saying everybody go uninstall your Weatherbug. And there's probably other programs that do this too. I mean, if Weatherbug does it, God knows what other little free download. But if you have downloaded free software for your computer, you know, from anybody, you really need to run a port scan and see because you've probably given it permission to access the Internet. You really need, and I want to give everybody the address of this place. Now, one of our chatters, I will give him credit, Lottie, in our chat room, initially gave me this site, and it's been incredibly useful. And it's an external scanner, and what it does is you go to the site, and you click test common ports. There's various things you can click on. What it does is it just starts sending all these packets to your computer you've asked it to, and it hits all these ports, and it comes back and tells you if it's open or if it's closed, and so you can immediately see if you have ports flapping in the wind. And wanted to give out that address.
Go ahead, please.
And just, you know, well, the site is www.grc.com. That's GRC like George Richard Charlie, www.grc.com. But when you get to the page, you click on Shields Up, as in, you know, the kind of shields the astronaut wore. No, not those
right.
Shields. There was some kind of shields. Shields Up. Okay, and then when you click on Shields Up, it'll take you to a page. You click on Shields Up again, and there you are at the page. You just click follow the yellow brick road. You click proceed and go ahead. But it's grc.com, and Shields Up, and Shields Up again, and it'll take you. And run the port scan, the common port scan. It will tell you if you have open ports, and there are various other tests that it will run. It's free. And, you know,
I'm sorting through this in my own tiny little mind, Peter. And I remember way back when reading about various and sundry computer programs, especially communications programs, and reading an article somewhere along the way that said, and the federal government has insisted that these programs be built with a back door for security purposes. Is this what we're talking about? Are we talking about the back door?
Well, yeah, this is a back door, I'd say. It's opened a door, I guess, for its own purposes, but when the door is open, nobody's watching it, you know. And if your computer, if you're not doing regular updates, if you're not getting your patches from that Microsoft releases, you know, on a regular basis, and many times, well, you know, these exploits are known prior to the patch being released, you know, as much as a couple of weeks prior to a patch being released. So an exploit could be out there prior to, you know, a fix getting downloaded from Microsoft. And sure, the government would know about anything like that before the common man would. They've got people who are in touch with who know what's going on.
You make me wonder. I mean, if you called, say, Halliburton, and you said, "Listen,
yeah, oh, I could just hear this phone call.
I want to talk to somebody in your IT department."
And yeah,
so, you know. You get the guy with the pocket protector.
I would have them at my door so fast, but yeah, let's do the phone call. This is interesting.
and you say, "Listen, I'm being hit by UDP packets that are coming from hell." "Oh no, you're not, sir. Look,
here's
the IP address."
Yeah, and I do.
It's yours. I mean, what I'm asking you is the technology such that someone could be hijacking their IP addresses? Or that they themselves could be infected, or somebody, you know, some 12-year-old whiz kid out in the California somewhere or whatever could, Kuala Lumpur could be sitting there going, you know,
Bob, you know, or, you gotta say that anything's possible on the internet, but you also have to realize, you know, it's the Department of Defense we're talking about, and it's Halliburton we're talking about, and they're supposed to not be hackable by people that can fake up their IP addresses. The source of the IP, the source of the packet. I mean, you can spoof email addresses and all that sort of thing, but you know.
That's what I'm asking. You can spoof an email address.
Can you spoof an IP address? I don't think so. But I don't know that because I'm.
Well,
not
if you're spoofing IP addresses, it would seem like the entire. I mean, that's IP is Internet Protocol. It would seem like the protocols that run the internet would have to come sort of crashing down.
Well,
because suddenly an IP address wouldn't mean anything. An IP address is a specific location of service, right?
Well, this is why I say that I don't think so. You know, but I don't know all of the tricks in the book. I don't pretend to. That's a big book. But you would think not. You would think that you couldn't do that. I mean, not at the packet level anyway. You know, I could probably spoof it. But you could probably spoof an email that, you know, said it was from a certain sender at a faked IP address. But that's email. That's a whole higher level of, you know. An IP packet just coming in as a straight UDP packet, how do you fake that? Now, these are coming from Halliburton. and they're on the government list of this company that tracks the company's up to speed. I mean, that's providing this service. I mean, it blocked the public library, for crying out loud. It knew that was in Leon County. I mean, so they've got their government list down.
This is creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. The government has no damn business sending me any freaking packets. I don't go to whitehouse.gov. I don't go to any of their sites. It's all a bunch of liars anyway. You know, and I don't have bomb-making data on my computer either, you know. I'll tell you right now, I subscribe to BuzzFlash and Truthout and all the...
Well, that's probably what makes you really dangerous,
that's
Peter.
That's probably what makes me dangerous. And my phone calls are no doubt traced to this phone number on a fairly regular basis. But for crying out loud...
I can't imagine they're having a lot of fun listening to you. I mean, that's no insult. I'm not suggesting
you
call or anything. But
you know, I'm just a country boy. I live in a dirt road in rural Leon County. Get off my back! What the hell am I gonna do?
This is and my God, just okay. Your tax dollars at work, just like the signs on the highway say. How much would it cost for the Department of Defense to send UDPs to port 1026 of every computer on Earth?
Well, let me tell you this. The Halliburton packets are all coming from one IP address. They have one server so far dedicated to do it. They've just started. The Department of Defense is sending it from, maybe 30, 40 different IP addresses. So they have bunches of servers set up, probably big, massive Dell Raider, arrays of, beyond their wildest comprehension.
The Unilab 10,000.
The Lab 10,000 is doing that. Every once in a while, I'll post in the chat room.
So these things just continually, day in and day out, Peter, every now and then, you just check, and it's like, look, it's the Defense Department.
Right, it's the Defense Department. And, my sad story about we don't have DSL out here, it's supposed to be coming soon, so I'm not on a fixed IP address. I have to dial up, and every time I dial up, I get a new IP. And sure enough, it starts hitting my new IP.
Well, that's the really sick and twisted part. You're getting hit with all of this, and you're on dial-up, for the love of God.
Dial-up. I don't know what to think. If they want all my email, they're going to get really, really slowly. Hell, it takes me a week to get my email.
Oh, God help them if they want to listen to some gay dance floor or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing kills me, though, is the Halliburton was the straw that broke the camel's back. What WTF? What is this? What does this mean? So thank you, Lottie, for this site. And you don't have to have the software that identifies where packets are coming from, guys. That's not necessary. I'd be curious to know if others are getting hit, too. But what you really do need is to go to this GRC site and see and run those tests and see if your machine is getting hit. It has open ports that should not be open. And if they are and you're running a firewall, you need to close them because, sure, Microsoft releases updates, but there are exploits. And
okay, we've mentioned Microsoft several times here, and most of the world is on a PC. What about, and obviously you don't work with them or anything, but is there a port that, and I'm asking stupid questions, I'm asking little five-year-old questions here because I got it. Is there a port 1026 on an Apple or Mac?
I would assume so. That'd have to be at least.
I mean, the port protocol is across the board, right? I mean, there'd be a port 1026 on a Linux machine.
On a PC-based machine, there's 65,000 ports. Actually, there's a little bit more than that because it's actually, it's 64,000 ports, but when you actually do it in computer numbers, it comes out to 1,000 is 1024. So it's really,
miracle math.
Yeah, miracle math. And you end up with 65,000 something ports. So, yeah, I would be shocked to find out that Macs didn't have access to the same. So, yeah, Macs, you can run it on a Mac too. It'll gladly probe your Mac and check to see if ports are open. And if your port 1026 is open on a Mac, that'd scare me too. I mean, if Halliburton was probing my Mac, I'd be just as upset if it was probing my PC or my TRS.
Well, sure. But and that's what I'm trying to get at. This is what they're doing is ubiquitous. It's not they're not aiming it at one particular kind of machine, or they're not aiming it at. You're not running Windows Vista yet, are you?
No, I'm not. I haven't switched over to Vista. There's a piece of software that I use that is not ready for Vista yet, and I'm waiting for them to release it before I switch over. And which should be soon, then I'll switch to Vista. But and what I'm getting, the impression I'm getting is that this is scattergun. This is shotgun type scanning because since I get a new IP address every time I connect, I assume they're scanning every IP address in the United States of America.
Well, that's not an unreasonable assumption to make, is it?
No, it is not an unreasonable assumption to make. They're certainly scanning every IP.
They don't have some sort of sick fascination with the godbold computer services of Tallahassee, Florida, do they?
No, and they're not trying to get naked pictures of my dog either. So,
Hey, this is a family program, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. Dog's wearing her collar right now, so she's fully clothed.
Be
afraid. Be very afraid. We've got, software out there that opens port 1026, and you've got the DOD exclusively scanning it, and you've got And it's probably a lot more than just weather bugs. And I'm not saying all weather bugs do it. Do not panic and uninstall your weather bug because Peter said so. You know,
but
I'm
if you well, it, but that raises you keep raising more questions, Peter. And I'm sure I'm you know you're not trying to spook anybody or anything. But if there's some free piece of software out there, is there some way you can is it possible to scan it and see if it will open? Open a port like
before you
let it install? Or?
What I have told people at this point in time is if there's something that you really want, like a weather bug or any number of you know freebie software, by all means, go ahead and install it. Your firewall may say, do you want to allow this program to access the Internet? Well, you're going to have to say yes for it to work. And you say yes, and then the next thing you do is you immediately run the scan at GRC. And if it's open to port, you get rid of it. You didn't need it. It's,
well, does the thing stop working if you close the port?
Well, theoretically, yes. I mean, if it's opening port 26, well, and here again, this is interesting. If it's opening port 26 just because it's got a nefarious intent, but it really doesn't use port 1026 to run, then the software would keep working. It just opened 1026 as a courtesy to the Department of Defense. But if it's actually using 1026 for some nefarious reason, it would stop working, yeah, because you closed the port. It could no longer get data. But it shouldn't be getting data on 1026. That's not a port you use.
It's just a neighborhood it's not supposed to visit.
Yeah.
Well, this is the whys and wherefores of it, Peter, are absolutely fascinating to me. Wondering what use the government could possibly make of something like this. But then again, if you consider the number of personal computers in the United States now, what kind of use couldn't the government make of it?
There you go.
I grew up on science fiction. You know, could the government if they had control? Boy, you know, I don't mean for this to sound like Art Bell or anything like that, but. If the government wanted to in a time of national emergency, could they take all those computers where they had found port 1026 open and use it to mount a massive cyber attack on an enemy government?
Bob, I don't see why not. That's how denial of service attacks work. Or if there was a blackout and they wanted to, you know, they were shutting down the network news, they could shut down every computer and nobody could. If they wanted to, if they had the right software, you know, take your computer down. You know, just blow away a few system files.
Okay, so I'm not just sitting here being ragingly paranoid, and this isn't a scene from A Beautiful Mind, and I haven't gone around the bend, and, you know, I'm looking for messages and highlights for children.
And I will underscore the fact that I am not officially a computer expert. I'm a computer generalist, but I've done it for over 20 years, and I do it for a lot of people, and this scares me. And I would
have
some computer security people who are really trained more in depth than I am. I'd love to hear more about this. Shoot me down. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm scared.
You'd like to be wrong in this instance.
Yeah, I would.
Well, you know, you do a lot of work for a lot of folks. Do you run these? And I don't want you to breach any confidences or anything. But do you run these kinds of scans for other people on your clients? Are you seeing these packets hitting them?
Actually, the clients that I'm servicing right now use Microsoft servers, and they're all secured, and 1026 is closed, and I haven't come up with an instance. Let me put it like this. I don't do a lot of, like, home computers, like where it's just an individual computer hanging out there all exposed to the Internet. I mean, the ones I work on are kind of like behind hardware firewalls and servers, and you know, they have several levels of security. So I don't see it every day in small business networks that I work with, but I don't do a lot of home computers. I mean, I get into it some. I mean, you know, some of it, you know, friends, family, and, you know, sort of thing. But
well, this is fascinating, and you know, you use the example of weather bug.
Yeah, weather bug's one, and we prove that. We have proved.
But how many others are out there?
Well, right. How many other programs?
You know, how many pieces of free software? Oh, it's free. I'll put it on my computer.
Look, I mean, I'm not accusing Yahoo of anything, but hell, you can download 1,000 different games on Yahoo. I mean, there's games all over the place. How many of those games do stuff like that? And, you know, it's just, do you want to allow this? You know, my firewall doesn't recognize it. You want to allow it access to the Internet? Well, sure. And you just open some port.
Well, I just got a, you might want to read up on it. I just got a link to a Wikipedia article on IP address spoofing. That's the title of the article.
Interesting.
But still, you know, why? Even
still,
if you're, even
this,
if
yeah, still, this brings.
Why would you? Why would you
companies.
Spoof DOD or Halliburton?
Oh, yeah, well, why spoof just those two? Right. And these addresses, these IP addresses, if you run them on the IP, you know, on an IP lookup service, it does come back to Halliburton and it does come back to the Department of Defense. But, you know, it seems odd that a company whose job is to offer a service that blocks IP addresses for spyware and spam and government addresses, you know, is like, you know, putting up, okay. So if that email that you've gotten says you can spoof an IP packet address, then fine. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, not for what we're getting at. I mean, you maybe for other reasons, but I'm still concerned, Bob. That doesn't dissuade me from being very concerned. I think these are real.
Well, I think they are too, and. You know, sadly, I'm in a position where I don't feel like I can trust the national security state.
Or the NOAA, the National Weather. No.
Yeah, I mean, where does weather bug come from? I mean, is it from?
Yeah, forward me the email.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is WeatherBug something that's provided by the National Weather Service? Is it something?
Is it from
the Weather Channel?
WeatherBug. See, WeatherBug comes by many. A lot of things are called WeatherBug. Like, for instance, WeatherBug comes with like AIM. Like, you can get it from Yahoo. I mean, AOL comes and like if you check the box, do you want to install?
Oh, okay. So it's sort of a generic term.
Yeah, it's kind of generic, because you know they don't really write it, but they you know they kind of lease it out, and so you can get like. For instance, WCTV Television here in Tallahassee, you go to their site, and it's part of the Channel 6 news team, get WeatherBug. So it's modifiable and customizable, and it's friendly, and it's just friendly enough for, you know, the Department of Defense to distribute it, too. You know, I don't pretend to know, but I know that I have a high level of confidence that these IP addresses that it's seeking are really from them. And, I mean, why... I don't know. There's lots of questions, more than
and
I have answers for.
Right.
Something ain't right, Bob.
This is. I mean, it wasn't a funny little story the first time you told it, and it was DOD. But now Halliburton, for God's sake!
I swear to God, Halliburton has started over the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, who could we ask, Peter?
I don't know, but I'm just now starting to get hot. I mean, Department of Defense is one thing. I mean, everybody knows your pants are down with Homeland Security. But now that it's Halliburton, I'm going to get more focused more closely on it now because something's up. It's just not right. It needs to come out. And, you know, by all means, you know, security, people who majored in internet security, call us. I mean, I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, absolutely,
I'm wrapped in tinfoil, buddy.
No ruby slippers for you. They're aluminum foil tonight.
Right, I've been wrong before, but they're real, and they're certainly getting blocked.
That's just it. Well, as soon as the program's over, I've got to run them on these two machines. I've got to run all this on these two machines I've got down here. The last, you know, I ran. The shields up, and it said that, you know, we're wrapped up tight as a drum up there at the studios, which is, you know, good news, and it's reassuring to know.
And the software that you use, we've kind of been through. I think I know it's all like standard good stuff, and I mean normal stuff. But I think it's the off the wall, like this would be fun to add on stuff that does it. That's opening these ports, like what?
Yeah, or and well, the first I remember the first PC I got, it was one of the early Pentium 1/2, you know. But in the early days of the internet, you know, you got stuff was delivered on disk. The dial-up stuff was slow, but everything came with and this free software.
Oh yeah,
and God and now that things download over the internet, God only knows.
Yeah,
what kind of stuff
of
is out there that you know? We're talking about one particular instance of this WeatherBug opening up 1026. what else are they using to look inside the computer? I mean, I'm so sickeningly paranoid.
And
I mean,
Bob,
I think the
screensavers alone, my God, you can't go to a site without it offering you a free screensaver. And I assure you.
Or smileys. Smileys.
Those guys are not, they do not hire teams of programmers at, writing screensaver software with these beautiful images for free. It just ain't done. Nobody's given you anything. It's either adware or it's adware and opening 1026 or some other port. It is more.
Yeah, because once again, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
Right.
Constop.
And I'm not saying delete everything that hasn't got a name brand on it or that you downloaded for free. I just want you to run Shields up and see what your status is. And if you've got open ports flapping out there in red in the wind, you really need to examine what software you have loaded on your computer and try to kind of figure it out.
Well, once you, yeah, and that's the next question. You know, we've kind of opened up a little can of worms here, Peter. Once you found out that you are flapping in the wind, how do you find out what's opened the darn things?
Well, what I advised the person in chat to do the other night was to go open their firewall program, and it varies in which program as to where this is, but somewhere there in there, there's a button that says restore defaults or reset to factory defaults. And that's going to immediately block everything. Okay. Or put it right back the way it should. Okay, then when everything's blocked, the first thing you do is you go out and, you know, well, of course, the program may very well start saying it has recognized this and allowed it, it's recognized that and allowed it, without really asking you. That's fine, because it's recognized the program and allowed it. But you then need to go ahead and run your, you know, suspect software, like run your WeatherBug or run your, you know, some game you downloaded or run your wallpaper program. And if it pops up and says, and asks permission to access the Internet, then you do this one at a time. You say yes, and then you let that one program access the Internet, then immediately go back and run this Shields Up scan. And if that's the program that opened the port, that port will again be open, and you'll know that you need to get rid of that program. Do you see what the procedure is? You have to do it one
time. Yeah, right. So you're going methodically through it one
right.
One
you don't
thing
know
at
which
a time.
One is doing it, and so you go back to your firewall and reset factory defaults or reset all settings or however the software reads the buttons being all of them. And once it's reset, it's going to block basically everything, and then you just run it one at a time. Do you find the one that starts opening ports? Then you don't want that program. Trust me, I don't care what it does. You don't want it. There's another way to get that information.
This is all just fascinating and so creepy and Matrix and the science fiction stuff, and I know how the government thinks and I know how they operate, and I can easily say, well, you know, it was necessary for because this is our war on kiddie porn.
Right. Well, that's our friend in chat found it the other night. This person, you know, reset the firewall defaults and within minutes discovered, oh, it's my WeatherBug opening it. Because, you know, she told her to run the test after each one, and sure enough, WeatherBug did it. So she's uninstalled it, and they're cool. But not all WeatherBugs do it. I mean, WeatherBug Company, please don't sue me. I'm just saying that her copy of WeatherBug did it. We know this for a fact. Can prove it in court.
That's amazing. And you talk about it in court, you know, This is the kind of thing that makes me think, you know, I mean, what kind of damage gets done? You know, how much is a computer?
Right.
How much does it cost to replace one?
Okay. You've got post office reading your mail. We've got a new the ACLU today comes out with this huge petition that they want everybody to sign, because AT&T and Verizon both are turning over your phone records to the federal government without your permission or knowledge. I was going to post that link in chat. I don't know if I ever got around to it or not.
How about shooting me that link too, please?
Oh yeah, we're glad. Yeah, you're a Verizon guy. Yeah, and we got Halliburton and the Department of Defense probing your computer for open ports. You know what's next? You know, geez, I mean, you know, a strip search? I don't know.
Well, this is the cyber equivalent of a strip search, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Except it's in secret. And the software they're giving you is like the distraction. Here's a lollipop while I give you a shot, little boy. Anyway, I was going to call
this serious
out,
stuff,
but,
and
inundated.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, I know that people listening will be as well. I'm sure I'll hear a lot of email about this.
Well, I hope so. And listen, if security people call, I mean, I'm really not a pompous jackass. I'm just telling you what I know, and I don't pretend to be a security expert. I'm a very good generalist, but this is what I'm telling you is what I know so far. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think we need some sort of blog posting on this, Peter.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt to put up the site, and I can send John some screenshots of the Halliburton, the proof I have that Halliburton and the Department of Defense are hitting me.
Well, this is something that folks out there in the wider blogosphere need to know. And if we really want to find out if we're wrong, somebody out there will pick it apart. So if you're up to putting up a blog posting, I'm sure either Gene or Susan would help you get it up on the Head On Radio Network blog. Our fine friends over at WD40.com would help you spread the word because people deserve to know this. I mean, I know most people don't think of it in this way, Peter, but the Internet is a physical electronic manifestation of our First Amendment freedoms. And moreover, if you look at it, the DOD hitting port 1026 with these packets is also a blatant violation of one's Fourth Amendment rights to be secure in what's the phrase, one's person, papers, and effects. I think the Internet qualifies, your computer qualifies as an effect, doesn't it? That's just amazing. Just amazing. So hopefully we can make something like this happen. And if you, as Peter said, if you know anything about security issues on this or you want to chime in, I'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. We'll come back for more of your phone calls in a moment. Take a quick break. My email address, the email address, by the way, bob@headonradio.com. We'll be right back on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's liberal voice.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Quick, who did that? Yeah, Brewer and Shipley. I think it was the only thing they ever recorded, but what a great, great tune. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is our Wednesday prayer meeting edition, and we've gotten ourselves involved not so much in the excesses of the religious right, but in this case, we started out with habeas corpus, and we have quickly gone on to a really creepy little issue in this business of unsolicited UDP packets being sent by the department. Did I almost say department? Yes, I did. By the Department of Defense, and now Halliburton. And in that vein, I have received an email from a person whom I will keep anonymous. They'll have to come and get it from me, Agent Fred. But the writer writes, I do security and housekeeping for home computers. I've known about the Weatherbug bug for 3 years. I used to work for DOD Computer Security. I apply my skills, and I'm always clearing and cleaning my applicants' PCs. The caller uses Microsoft Network in a business environment, but I refuse Microsoft browsers and won't move to Vista for at least a year. Reason? I think Microsoft is in bed with this government, and they spy on us. So I use Mozilla and stay away from MSN. Oh, yeah, tell folks to clean out their old computers. Take them offline. This is in caps. Take them offline for the kids. You download what you want the kids to have and transfer it to their computer. No internet access is allowed. The children of my clients, they have to get their content from their parents. And the writer writes, "Oh yeah, I love this call." See, that's what makes this all so neat. What we're able to do with the horn. Peter said somebody from security call that please contact somebody from somebody who's done security contact. So apparently this is not for all of our dear friend Peter's statements to the contrary. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is stuff that really, really affects your freedom. And so I said we started on one topic and we went to another, but you know what? We didn't. We didn't at all. We started out talking about freedom and freedoms being taken away. I suppose that most people out there don't think about, and I'm not talking about Horn listeners, we know how vital this is, but they don't think about their computers and their internet access as a function of their freedom. But I don't know if there's a greater manifestation of individual freedom in this country right now than the internet. Is there? Can you be sure that your letter to the editor of the local fish wrap will actually make it into the paper? Can you be certain of that? Can you be sure that it won't be edited, that it won't be cleaned up, that it won't be changed, that it won't be modified, that your words will actually wind up being your words when they get ink applied to movable type and you wind up on the newspaper front, on the newspaper letters to the editor page right next to the person who, I want to let you know that everybody who wears nylon's going to hell. Can you be sure? This is freedom. And just as sure as the Bush administration, the right-wing authoritarians, the terror people, have done everything in their power to take away your freedom to even ask a judge why you're being imprisoned. And I mean you, us, we. Just as sure as that's under attack, you can be certain that your most precious expressive freedom is under attack. The means and manner by which you listen to this program may very well be subject, and again, that may very well be subject to being eliminated, stopped, modified. You heard Peter talking about the fact that a couple of phone companies out there, and probably more than a couple, are just willy-nilly provide your phone records to the federal government, free for the asking. Brother. So it is all about freedom, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Our good friend David in Maine calls. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. I guess I'm 3 for 3 this week. Yeah, just to mention something on that IP thing real quickly. We'll talk about it later on another day. But, you know, Gary McKinnon got in trouble and extradited to the United States. He got in trouble for hacking the Pentagon. And this is freaky. The way he would hack the Pentagon was he would actually simulate the desktop. So he would have the Pentagon desktop on his screen. And what he would do is he would go from computer to computer, and how they caught them is basically, I think one of the guards saw a cursor moving. So there are programs out there. People are laughing at me, but there are programs out there that you can actually simulate your desktop where it'll move your cursor, and you think you're moving it, but you're not. Because
this is also amazing to me. I'm such a simpleton where so much of this is concerned.
Right. I mean, basically with computers, I think since the age of quantum computers and everything, the best way to look at it is you know what a good site to go to is like the future of computers and all of that. A good site to go to is RayKurzweil.com, and the reason why that is because he's a theorist, and he also invented a lot of the famous keyboards. Music keyboards for Kurzweil. But what he does is he gets into AI, artificial intelligence, he gets into simulation, immortality, and all of this stuff. And what makes him different is since he's an inventor and he revolutionized the world of keyboards and music and basically sample simulations, he knows a lot about the area of where we're going next. It's like, I guess you could look at it like he's like a Nikola Tesla for keyboards, if you want to look at that. And people say, well, what does music have to do with what we're talking about? Again, you know, sound simulation and stuff like that, it deals back into, and basically what he'll do is somebody like that, if you read his articles, he'll tell you what is possible and what is coming down the line in the next year or so, and he'll even go beyond that and tell you what a lot of people aren't even seeing yet, what's happening now, kind of like a behind the scenes look to it.
Wow. And can you spell out the name again?
Kurzweil, Kurzweil, Ray Kurzweil. com. You'll see a lot of essays and theories and stuff. I think what's important to realize also, I guess we'll talk about computers today. Why not?
Sure.
Okay. I think something important to realize is that a lot of these security companies, Peter didn't touch on this, but he should. A lot of security companies, a lot of them on the net, even though they may have, looks like background checks and stuff like that, always remember that if they're into these security companies and they're charging you money and stuff like that on the net, and I always kind of look like if you see American Eagle for an icon, it's probably not good to go to that company.
I get what you're saying.
And then you're saying, what were you saying? Are you saying they're right-wing freaks? No, I'm just saying everyone's out to make a buck and they're mercenaries, basically. There are a lot of security mercenaries out there, and people should pay attention to that. One thing I would suggest to a lot of people is when you Google Awares Discussion Board, WARES, and a lot of programs, and they'll tell you about a lot of the – you can read a lot of discussions, and there's a lot of infighting among a lot of hackers and stuff, and you can kind of get an idea about what's the greatest security, because a lot of these people are like they're the sacrificial lamb. They'll test it on their computers or whatever, and they'll say, oh, that fried my motherboard, that was dumb or whatever. But there's a lot of people like that on the net that, I mean, they don't pay attention to it. And a lot of things I like about it is a lot of people now are into flash video tutorials where they'll teach you how to modify and fix your system. So you can watch a tutorial while you're doing it, and you'll see the movements of his hand on the keyboard versus somebody who has, like, you know, these long jargon explanations and, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, and then they go right into computer jargonville. So that's another good option. But, you know, I think a good thing to keep in mind is always look for programs that a lot of these hackers test, and a lot of people say, well, I thought, you know, a lot of people say, well, I thought hackers are bad. Well, you just got to find a community. Like, you know what would be good? If you had someone, I was talking to Agnes the other day about this, but if you had some, because she mentioned she was into that too, but if you have somebody from 2600.com,
mm-hmm.
If you had someone on your program, they could explain to you more in depth and detail than you could ever imagine that's possible. And you'd be like, oh, I get it. I think 2600.com would be a good guest to have one of the specialists over there or something. They deal with hacker and security and the latest viruses and bugs. You know, they have like a weekly radio show or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there.
I'm not that familiar, but you've given me a lot of interesting sites over the last couple of years. So yeah,
you could ask Agnes about that. And the other thing I was going to mention was we were going to talk about Glenn Beck, and you know, this struck me as odd. I was like, why is Glenn Beck talking about black people so much? You know, he talks about he goes into more details about black people and how suspicious of them he is than Rush Limbaugh. And I'm like, why? And then, you know, it dawned on me, Bob. Glenn Beck's a Mormon, and one of the tenets in a lot of sects of Mormonism is there is no race integration.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, I've got another theory on that, if you'll humor me.
Right.
This is subtle stuff. To the extent that these people are capable of being subtle, and I've noticed the same thing coming out of Glenn Beck as well. He's sort of race obsessed these days, and stays that way. But I think you're seeing it getting ramped up for one factor and one reason only, and that is Barack Obama.
Oh, Barack Obama too, and...
And it's, I mean, it's guilt by association, it's smear tactics, it's the dirtiest, filthiest kind of politics that are that this country is capable of. But, you know, why should we be surprised? I mean, this is, after all, a political mindset that was established by Lee Atwater and with Willie Horton, and later on by Karl Rove with the smear campaign on John McCain, you know. The push polling phone calls in South Carolina in 2000 saying, "Did you know John McCain has a black baby?" You're aware of all that.
You know.
So it surprises me not in the least, and this would seem right about that. They're right on schedule as far as I can tell.
You know, hopping to that and giving us something similar to what we're talking about. There's a movie based on, I don't know if you ever read the book called Flatland.
Oh, I'm familiar with Flatland, yes.
Okay, well, there's a movie out now by a guy named Ladd Elringer, and he's from Huntsville, Alabama. I just bought his DVD by accident, and what's really cool about it is he takes the book, and you have the 2D and the 3D world in this computer animated movie, and he actually got the voiceovers and everything from a lot of different voice actors, and he was able to make it on his budget. It's like ninety or ninety-five minutes or something, and it's really impressive for what he did. If people want to check out the trailer, they can go to flatlandthefilm.com and check it out.
Oh, I will check that out, because Flatland's a fascinating book. I don't know how you make a movie out of it, but it'll be darned interesting.
It's amazing. See, what he does is, okay, for the 2D world, for people who are familiar with Flatland, like I was, I learned Flatland. I believe I mentioned Flatland to you first when we were talking about Michio Kaku's hyperspace, which was about theoretical physics and string theory and all of that. But in it, he talks about Flatland. He has like a paragraph and a half about Flatland. And what it is, it's a satire. Correct me if I'm wrong, on England in the Victorian age?
Yeah, that works.
That's what they say it is.
And the vehicle is an entirely two-dimensional as opposed to three-dimensional world.
And to explain for people who are like, I'm not quite understanding, try to think of it like this. Tron meets The Matrix meets 1984. Or something like that, okay?
Hey, David, we've got a break for the news, buddy.
All
okay,
right,
can
no
you
problem.
Stand by?
All right.
All right, hang on just a minute. We'll be back talking to our good friend David in Maine. We'll come back. More of your phone calls are on the way. 877-443-2366 is the number. If you want to jump in, get involved, say your piece, you're more than welcome. That's why we call it Conversation Radio. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Vice President Dick Cheney today made an unannounced visit to Pakistan. He asked that country's president for more help to fight militants thought to be regrouping along its borders. President Pervez Musharraf insists his country's done the maximum it can despite those efforts. U.S. intelligence indicates militant groups are gaining momentum, possibly for a spring offensive in Afghanistan. Afterwards, Cheney was to meet with President Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, but that trip was canceled because of bad weather. Diplomats from six countries agreed in London today to work on a new UN Security Council resolution to pressure Iran to abandon its atomic program.
Last week, you may recall, Iran ignored a UN-imposed deadline to stop uranium enrichment work and instead reportedly accelerated its program. Iran also announced yesterday it had successfully launched a research rocket showing progress in its space satellites program. The New Yorker reports the Pentagon is concentrating on its capability to launch airstrikes against Iran within 24 hours of a presidential order. Those preparations could be completed as early as this spring. Kuwait's largest newspaper says Oman, the United Emirates, and Qatar have told the U.S. they'd be willing to open their airspace to the Israeli Air Force in the event of an attack on Iranian nuclear facilities. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani is in stable condition today in a Jordanian hospital. His family says the 73-year-old fell ill from exhaustion. Despite the turmoil in the country, Iraq's government today agreed on a plan to divide the country's oil wealth among its citizens. The draft law still faces a vote in parliament, but all major parties agreed to work for its approval. U.S. officials call the issue a key political benchmark to settling the country's divisions. And at the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today, the judge dismissed one of the jurors because she was exposed to a media account of the trial over the weekend. The judge disqualified her but allowed the deliberations to continue with 11 jurors. The snow and ice storm that hit the Midwest Sunday moved to the East Coast today, and hundreds and thousands of customers in the Midwest lost power. Science and business news next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A computerized heart scan may speed up the diagnosis of emergency room patients with chest pains. The scan will give doctors and patients a quicker answer as to who may have clogged arteries and need more care and who can go home. Researchers say a new breath test can also detect lung cancer, even in the early stages of the disease. However, the device needs more time.
However, they did report bad breath and body odor. The largest private buyout in America's history has stunned Wall Street and Washington. TXU, Texas' biggest energy company, has announced that it is axing plans to build 11 new coal-fired power plants and instead will only build 3. Environmentalists cheered the announcement. Morgan Stanley's vice chairman said the move is, quote, a wake-up call to the whole industry and the economy, the auto guys, the airlines, everyone. TXU is being acquired by a consortium of private equity firms for $45 billion. The Lundberg survey reports gas rose nearly 13 cents a gallon within the past couple of weeks. The highest prices at the pump were found in San Francisco, the lowest in Salt Lake City. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.39 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The Dow closed down 5.25 points today. The Nasdaq was down 11.5, and the S&P 500 was down 1.75. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Darn right and jump right in. We'll take this all the way downhill to the end of the program. We were talking with David, calling from Maine a few moments ago, and we were discussing, I believe, Flatland, which, to my surprise, has been turned into a film. Right, David?
Yes. The best way I can describe the Flatland to people who haven't read the book or haven't seen the film, basically you're looking at beings, two-dimensional beings from above, in the scenes where it's 2D. So what they do is, you see the beings that you're looking at, and they go around from room to room or from hallway to hallway to whatever, but you can see their insides also. You can see what's working inside their brains and everything. So you have the main character is the hero. He's kind of like the patriot, the tragic hero, if you will, in a darkly disturbed world of Flatland. And what Flatland is being what's happening to Flatland is a lot of there's a lot of infighting going on because there's this phenomenon called chromatists. I don't know if you remember this part.
I'm struggling. It has been a long, long
right,
time.
Right, right. Chromatist is when a particular shape, since the beings are shapes, you got pentagons, you got isosceles, you got triangles, you got rectangles, and the leader is called King Starkle. So you're dealing with beings that are all shapes in Flatland.
Right.
So chromatist is when somebody colors one of their sides. So A Square's kid. He has kids, and they're all five of them are pentagons, and one's a hexagon. So I'm sure you guys are getting the little parallels here and the little inside satire of everything. But anyways, and his wife, the women. Okay, this is gonna. Now remember, this is the 1800s, ladies. The women are a straight line. And they talk really loud because that's the only way you can hear them.
And they practice the art of feeling.
Right, the art of feeling, right. So when you're looking in the 2D world, what he does is, how he explains it, some scenes he'll just basically drop in a caption and explain what you're looking at. But he makes all of the characters, he animates them all, so you're looking from the perspective of you're just like looking at them. But the thing that's important for people to understand about Flatland is the perspective that you're seeing is not how they see. They only see in lines. They don't see a whole object. They just see the line they're looking at because they're flat creatures. And the premise of the movie goes on to what happens is there's like a coup, and chromatists are inside the Senate or the Forum, whatever you want to call it, basically the king inside the political system. So they start going crazy, and the triangles start eliminating the chromatists. But just to simplify it for everyone, when you see the movie, what's impressive about it is it takes you from 2D. And instantly you're warped into the 3D world, where I don't know if you remember, but there's a character. I'm not going to tell too much about the movie. There's a character in the movie Flatland, which is called a Sphere, and he's the guy that teaches the tragic hero A Square about that there's a 3D world out there. And basically, what happens in the movie is his change of perception and perspective changes, and really, it is like a dark satire with a lot of moral messages in it. And I think anyone from any the great thing.
Yeah,
about
and it's
it,
worth bearing in mind. This thing was written in 1884 or something, if I recall correctly.
And so, so if you look at it from that perspective, the thing that's cool about it is there's no left or there's no right or anything. Someone can't just say, oh, that's liberal. I mean, they could. I mean, if a right winger wants to, he could call a chromatist. He could say anything. He could say, "Oh, that's communism. That's capitalism."
But to the extent that it is a satire on Victorian England, I think it is much more. It's much easier on our side, David,
right,
to say that it paints a picture of an authoritarian society.
Yes, it does paint a picture of an authoritarian society.
You know, very rule-oriented, rule-based, rule-determined, in which there are no alternatives but to follow the status quo.
Right, and you learn lessons of geometry in it, geometry and math in it.
That's why I ran into it eons ago. I think eighth grade.
Really?
The first time. Yeah, that was the first time I ran into it, David, and I didn't get the biggest part of it.
Well,
but I've gone back a couple of, you know, it is fascinating, and it is worth people's effort and time in reviewing. And there's so much stuff out there that is that way. I mean, my God, I've mentioned being a big Robert A. Heinlein fan from time to time. I'm trying. There was one book of his where there was a Flatland reference. It's one of those. It's one of those books that finds its way into the mindset of a whole lot of people whose brains are out there a lot further into the stratosphere than mine is.
Right. Well, if people want to check it out, I'll leave with this. If people want to check it out, it's Flatland the film, all one word together, FlatlandTheFlim.com. You can see the trailer. You can find out a little bit about it if you want to order it. You can order it. You can hit the director up or whatever. I just stumbled on it by accident, and I think it's really interesting. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, David. You have yourself a wonderful evening. I'm glad you called in, and you never cease to bring something interesting to the table, and especially that I would have never known this had been made into another film.
I know I stumbled on it by accident. So everybody, go check it out if you're interested.
Flatlandthemovie.com.
Flatlandthefilm.com.
Flatlandthefilm.com. See, I'm not paying attention, I guess.
I'll send you a link to it so you can put it on your board or whatever.
Okay, great. Thanks, David. Have a wonderful night.
You too, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye.
And onward to our good friend Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. A very busy place this evening, seeing how the Crimson Tide and the Volunteers are having at it on the boards down there. Right, Luke?
Oh, yeah, they're going at it already. So, now they're commercial right now, but that don't matter, but...
Yeah, and see, you're watching. I knew.
Well, no, you just mentioned it, so I hit the button and switched over to it. Actually, I usually watch Oberman when I'm listening to you.
Well, they're just now tipping off, I think, and you know, decent implications for both teams as far as their tournament hopes in March.
Yeah, well, you know how that is. That's one of them ones that, like I say, they're both right at the point where. People are going to be upset. And people are going to be happy, depending on which way it goes. So you know what I mean? Because somebody will get in, somebody who shouldn't, and somebody will who should. But you know how that's the way it always winds up.
Yeah.
But you were talking a minute ago about films. I was sitting here listening to you earlier talking about computers and all that. And if somebody wants to know what you can do with a computer, or not just what you can do. But I'd say look back. Do you remember a film in the 90s called Hackers?
Yeah.
That had some good stuff in it about some of the things that most people don't realize is out there that you can, that if you had the right code, you can get into certain computers, like the power grids.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And the things like the FAA and those nasty old traffic corridors for planes. You know, something simple, you know.
Right. Yeah. No. Nothing big. Nothing important. No, not at all.
And if you really want to see something, I'll mention to you an old science fiction film, which you will probably remember. Most people don't because it wasn't all that big a popular one, I guess. It maybe was at the time. But if you ever want to know what you really can play with computers, can you remember one called Colossus, the Forbidden Project?
Oh, yes.
So...
Yes, indeed. Of course, you know, I think I started paying attention to science fiction films when they were running on the afternoon movies when I was five, so.
So, and I mean, if you really want to know what you can do, like, say, on electronics, and you know, how you can tap into people, what was it, The Conversation with Gene Hackman, and then years later they did, what's the one he did with Will Smith, Enemy of the State, where they essentially had Will Smith wired like a radio station. You know, he was carrying like five or six plugs on him, didn't even know it. You know,
exactly.
That's
exactly what we're facing right now, because God only knows how many Americans have this stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing that years ago they were talking about
on their computers and have no idea.
In the cards, you know, so when you walk through a door, somebody will know who you are, where, you know, what you got, you're carrying. So. you know, on these scan systems, who knows what all they're scanning on you. So cars with these magnetic strips and the little chips in them, you know, that's why some of us get in and out of our offices.
Well, that, absolutely. I've had a couple of, where you wave the little thing in front of the little black thing on the door, and then bink, and you're in. Sure.
So I mean, you know, they can do that same thing with those two bars you walk in between when you walk into a store. You know, where it's checking to make sure you don't steal something. Well, it can do a lot of other things than just that, than just see if you're stealing. But no, I've been sitting here watching this thing tonight, and I. If anybody watches the repeat of Hardball tonight, the Paranoia Lot is on.
I've done everything in my power to stay away from the mass marketed feud between Hillary and
well,
Barack Obama
that's
today.
That's what it all was tonight. So
I hate this, Luke,
about.
Because American politics is being reduced to professional wrestling.
I know. Well, it's that, and then like I say, but that's just on our side of the thing. I'm still waiting for it to catch on when they can actually talk. They'll actually start saying things about McCain and Giuliani, you know, Saint Giuliani and the Maverick McCain, you know. So they can finally actually.
How can Rudy Giuliani honestly think he has a prayer of being the president of the United States when he knows darn good and well? That there are going to be pictures of him in drag all over the country, and this is not a slur on drag queens or anything, but I don't think redneck Republican America is ready to elect a guy in a dress.
Well, you got to remember now, he'll get some of the rednecks when they find out about his first marriage. You know, the one to his cousin.
Ding 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 ding. Sure do got a pretty mouth. Yeah, I know.
Then I still think the fun one though is the second marriage with Hanover. And the fact that he tried to move his mistress into the Gracie mansion and throw his wife and children out while they were still married.
I know, and that's again, what level of vanity candidacy is this that he's got handlers around him going, "Oh yeah, Rudy, you're a shoe-in, man. Oh, you're hot, you're tough on crime, and you're hot in rhinestones."
Well,
Jesus.
Well, just think of who some of his friends are: Bernie Kerik and Bo Dietl. You know, here's a couple of winners.
Isn't Bernie still in prison or something?
I don't know if he is still. Actually, I haven't seen him anywhere. You know, I mean, I haven't seen. But every once in a while, you know, I mean, you hear his name mentioned, so you got to think it's got something to do. You know, I don't even know because, like I say, you know, he was in business with. They were in business together through Rudy's company, and I don't know if they still are or not. You know what I mean? And I tell you what, and like I say, you got some of these people. It's like. If I was him, I'd call people at MSNBC or with IMUS and all them and tell them, please tell Bo Dietl to quit helping me, you know, please. You know, it's,
yeah.
Somebody, and I heard this a while back. I think I may have told you this, but I heard the best nickname I've ever heard for John McCain. Weather McCain.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But stick the finger up, see which way the wind's blowing. Here we go.
Well, but Mitt Romney is beginning to provide some real entertainment value.
Well, I say, you know good and well they're going to run that piece of tape where he's talking about, I can do more for the homosexuals than Ted Kennedy can. You know, he made that little statement during his run for governor.
Well, I happened to catch a little bit of, please forgive me, everyone. It was just strictly the morbid curiosity of clicking past a channel and you stop and because it's like a car wreck. But I saw a little bit. I saw a little bit of Billow.
Well, Billow's
he had a body language on. This is how far it's sunken, Luke. He had a body language expert on to analyze the body language of Mitt Romney when somebody in the crowd hollered, "You're not a Christian," or "You don't know the Lord," or whatever. I forget the phrase.
Like I said, Billow has come off the tracks again. And the tracks are getting rusty because Billow ain't on them very often any which way. But was this one where he was doing a voice or something? I've heard the clip played, and I'm sure it's probably over at Crooks and Liars or something. But like I say, now he's after Scarborough because he doesn't still want to mention Overman's name. You know, and it's... It's so much fun, you know. But I got to admit, it is sort of like NASCAR. You're sitting there just waiting for the wreck to happen. You know?
Well, and that's something I was thinking about earlier today. It's so interesting you would bring up NASCAR. NASCAR has been marketed apparently by the France family deliberately as WWF on wheels.
Yeah, well, that's what it's perfect.
And now it's carrying over by virtue of the entertainment culture we're forced to deal with. The professional wrestlingization of politics they are going to manufacture a feud between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, or they are going to absolutely spontaneously combust in the process.
Well, you know, it's like we've said, you know, not that he doesn't have a right to run and all that, but like I say, the main reason Obama is running is because the people in the media wanted a food fight. They had to have one. Because they were looking at Hillary just walking in and taking everything, and they just could not stand that. And that's why you started seeing people, you know, started watching all the news channels covering Obama everywhere he went. And this is before they were really even talking heavy about, you know, him running or anything like that. They were covering every time he talked. Because, like I say, I think some in the news media decided this is who we want to run against her. You know, and I think they've been the ones picking. That's why, you know, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, like you said, you know, if Hillary's the candidate, we'll get behind her. But it's one of those things. I haven't really been that favor in favor of Obama because what I can see, that's what it is. It's the media wanted somebody so they could have a war. They didn't want somebody to come in there and just take all the marbles because
It just beats the dickens out of having to actually do journalism, doesn't it?
Oh God, what fun would that be? You know, it's like this thing, you know, like we have here with a stupid guy. It's like, who needs a cover? Well, the people there in the administration will hand you your talking points. Go out there and take them, and a bunch of them did. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll be honest. I was surprised with this whole thing with Dana Priest with the Walter Reed. I mean. You got to wonder. I'm just curious how many calls went through the post where they were saying, "Don't cover this, don't cover this."
Well, and they trotted out a guy in fatigues today who apparently has some sort of jewelry on his shoulder boards or whatever, who says, "I take full responsibility for this." Yeah, God knows the Secretary of Veterans Affairs shouldn't take full responsibility.
That's
for
what
it.
I'm wondering. Where the hell is Jim Nicholson's butt?
Nah, Jim Nicholson is not going to be heard from. He's in a secure, remote, undisclosed location.
He's
you know, I've got a story here, Luke. That's, do you know as of fiscal 2006? Do you know what the backlog was at the VA?
In what? I mean, numbers or?
Yeah, in terms of people, you know, people needing services who aren't
numbers on it over the years, and it's just gotten worse and worse.
The VA backlog as of fiscal 2006 was 400,000.
God. Well, you know, every time they start complaining, the when the Reptilicans start complaining, you know, they always complain about Canada. You know, oh, you have to wait for this stuff. It's like, we apparently decided we can outdo that. Because apparently that's the way it's turned to the VA, you know, where these guys should, you know, they should be getting, you know, operations when they need. Some of these people are having to wait for months to get operations because they can't schedule them. And apparently the people at the VA up and down the line are trying to talk some of these people out of getting operations. Oh, you don't need that, you know.
I've got John Aravosis over at America Blog. Had another horror story, and I mean that's what the headline. Another Walter Reed horror story from the Army Times, and the Army Times reports
the
story.
Carrying things like that.
Yeah, and this is the story of Private Robert Van Antwerp. He showed up in August 2004. No, I'm sorry. It was Specialist Carl Unbehagen, 29 years old. Reported to his new unit at Fort Benning, Georgia, Luke, and he developed intense migraine headaches, and the doctors told him it was because he wasn't used to the humidity.
Yeah, I heard this story.
Yeah, and instead he's got a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mustered out. and gets screwed out of his disability. Pardon?
I think he was busted out. He wasn't listed as fully disabled.
No, not at all.
And the thing was, when he had reported, he'd had a full physical, and because they tried to start claiming it was pre-existing condition, and apparently he'd had his physical when he came in, and they found there was no trace of it at that time. Because, I mean, they tried taking him up one side and down the other. You know, yeah, you had that when you checked in with us. And then he had his physical and said, no, he didn't, because they did the full scans and the whole thing on him at the time. That's like I say, you know, I mean, I don't, and I know people will say, well, it's just damn liberals, but, you know, I would be honest, I would not mind my taxes going up as long as you tell me these people are getting everything they need. I don't mind that. They've paid the price for it.
They earned it.
That's what I was going to say. As I say, I don't think they should pay another penny to Halliburton until these people have gotten, you know, to me, every veteran there is should have full coverage, and I mean, there shouldn't be an excuse. And if it's questionable, fine. We'll treat them first, then we'll work at it later. You know, if you want to,
yeah, but
about
don't,
that,
don't
fine.
Treat
them.
You've got Veterans Affairs representatives who are being told, who are being expressly forbidden from doing actual outreach to veterans to tell them what services are available, and that's, it's disgraceful. And again, I don't care if it's a Republican, a Democrat, or an anarcho-syndicalist in office; it is disgraceful.
Yeah, but it's like I say, I don't care if my taxes go up. That's fine as long as I know they're getting treated. You know, if it's going for their treatment, that's fine with me.
Unfortunately, however, even if taxes went up, this would not change, Luke, because at the final analysis is that this administration does not care. The injured veterans are not useful veterans anymore.
Oh,
they're all used up. They're done. It's over. You know, go away and die quietly and forget you ever knew us. That's the way they get treated.
Did you see this, on another story, did you see this thing where they found out the Department of Justice was saying, oh, we've dealt with all these terrorism things.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out they were calling everything in the book a terrorist problem.
Yeah, domestic abuse, credit card fraud. Yeah, it's all terrorism.
Yeah. It's like, God. Okay, well, what else should we expect from the Bush administration? Yeah, we're going to cook the books, and if something we oppose, well, we'll claim credit for it, you know. Oh, we oppose that. We vetoed it. No, we were totally behind it. You know how that goes.
Yeah, and the British are pulling out of Basra because of their successes.
Yeah,
yeah, I caught that today too.
Bob. Yeah. Well, they're pulling out because it's such a success. Well, Bud, I see it's the bottom of the hour. Let me.
All right,
you got other.
Yeah, take it easy, Luke. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye now. And we'll roll onward. Do you want to take a break, Agnes, or do you want to keep rolling? Okay, no break or no roll. Okay, we'll go on. Ron, is no break yet? Oh, this is confusing.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ron, welcome to the program.
Benedict at Large.
Benedict at Large, congrats. Well, thank you. I haven't heard from you in forever. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I was hearing you and Peter talking about security breaches, and I wanted to give you a call if you thought you were scared before. I can tell you a few things that happened to me. First, though, I want to agree with your last caller. A media event with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He may be able to survive it, but he's being used as a media event right now.
Do you think he knows it?
If I was him, I wouldn't care. Because it is free publicity, and you know that's a lot cheaper than raising a lot of campaign contributions. So, he may be able to survive it. I hope he does. I hope he does. He'll be fun in the race. But I did want to get on to a couple of things that happened to me.
Okay.
First of all, I had a firewall broken down. I mean, it just stopped working. Okay, so I raised the security level on it, and it just cut me off from the internet entirely. And so I dropped it back down, and I said, okay. And I uninstalled it, and I reinstalled it, and it did the same thing. Okay. Now, at that point, I went and truthfully ripped off a version of another firewall. You know, one of the mainstream firewalls. All of these are mainstream firewalls. I won't mention their names because I don't believe it was their fault. I installed another one to replace it. And guess what? It wouldn't work either. So I ripped off another one. And I kept going through it. And I could not get a firewall to work without raising the security level so high that I was just cut off entirely from the Internet.
Yeah, so that became, basically, it became a paperweight.
Well, it became a paperweight to whomever. I couldn't diagnose it enough to determine whether it was a paperweight to everyone or just a paperweight to whomever did it to me. Okay, so I ended up having to do what's called a manufacturer's restore, which is bring your computer back down to the day you bought it. In other words, anything you ever put on it is gone, all that stuff. And that was the only thing that cleared it up. This breach, by the way, you know how your computer takes the restore points?
Sure.
And everything? My restore points were all wiped out in this breach. Every single one of them. I had no restore points left. So whatever hit me hard, and no firewall could detect it, nor could any overcome it, even if it was a brand new firewall. Could not overcome it. I went through the restore and got most of my computer back because it did allow me to offload a lot of my data and everything. I dropped a few things, but mostly I got it back. That was the one thing. Second time, and as you know from some of the things I've sent you, I have written a lot of very controversial stuff.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I couldn't keep an internet connection. This was about a year later. I could not keep an internet connection. I ended up, rather than using my DSL, I started going to dial-up. And it would take me 20 or 30, sometimes as many as 50 or 70 dial-ups before I could actually connect and get data. I could connect, but no data would ever come over. Okay, what I did that time, okay, this is over in the Hartman chat room back then. Once I would get on, I started using words like terrorists, bombing, you know, any kind of controversial word I just throw into every message I put in. At the end of my message that I would write to anybody, I'd throw all these words in, and then I'd say, could you please fix the wiretap that you put on my internet connection? You understand what I'm trying to get at?
Because yeah, I do.
I suspect them. It worked. It worked. After I did it for about 3 days, my dial-up cleared. It was about another 2 days, and my DSL cleared up. By doing that, by constantly going in and using terrorist words, and then, could you please install your wiretap on me correctly? I mean, I was kind of nice about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sort of the way that we, from time to time, say hello to Agent Fred here.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, well, we've had people who, in the middle of their conversations, will say things like Chesapeake Bay tidal charts. And, you know, because if these supercomputers that they're using, Benedict, if they are what they say they are, everything happening here is being heard.
They are. I've been into computers since I was 12 years old. That makes me into them about 43 years. I mean, I know what the supercomputers do. I know the architectures they use. It's totally different than what you're sitting in front of or what I'm sitting in front of. These are like a real old architecture. They use what's called floating point arithmetic, which gives them massive, massive powers to do massive types of things like plan moonshots and where satellites are going to be and stuff like that, but they can also be used in a very evil way to plan stuff like this, where they just can attack everything and wreak havoc.
Well, so you eventually got the reliability of your service back. Did you ever identify anything either in or out of your computer that was the root cause?
I could on the first one, I could never identify it, what had gone wrong, because like I said, I installed brand new firewalls that had never been put on, and they suffered the same thing. So something had hacked me at a very, very base, low level, right through my firewall and right through every other firewall I installed. None of them would do what they were supposed to do. And, I've been around computers long enough where I'm pretty familiar with how they look like when they're running right, at least. And I could not identify. The second time, I mean, like I said, here's my message to somebody, and there's my three dirty terrorist words at the end, you know, like randomly. And what they have in these computers, these supercomputers like you talk about, they have speech analysis. Okay? They look for keywords, and you and I can guess them, you know, terrorists and World Trade Center, whatever. They will identify keywords, and they'll flag those out to a second level of processing, because you can't process everything. There's just too much that goes across the internet. You can't process everything. But they will flag them as, hey, process this message down and see what you can get out of it. Well, they will do English language parsing. Okay, so like they could probably do it on our conversation right now. They will do English language parsing and say, well, yeah, the word terrorist came up and it was in a conversation and it didn't really mean anything, so we won't flag that. But when you place the word separately and alone, there is no context within these programs where they can do English language parsing. They therefore kick them up to the second level. Hey, we've got an alert. And you're still in the programs. We've got an alert. What do we know about this? Okay, and the trick is to fool these programs, which you can do, which I did, fool these programs into kicking those up enough level where a human being actually looks at them. And that's where my message afterwards, please, if you're going to wiretap me, at least do it right. You've screwed up. I can't even get online anymore, and I know you want to hear me talk. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And, like I said, within a couple of days of doing this, once I started it, my problems cleaned up. So did I actually identify them? Not specifically, but, you know, I went through my internet provider, and they found nothing wrong. Nobody found anything wrong, except all of a sudden the problem cleaned up. So I'm just attributing it to that. Maybe it wasn't, but my thought is that it probably was.
Well, and that's the thing. This puts us in a position where it's the absence of knowledge is what makes us feel like we're losing it. We're you know, and because you sit there and day after day you got these problems, you can't find a root cause, you can't find the problem,
mm-hmm.
you can't find the source, and you, am I losing my mind? You know, you're sitting there wondering.
Well, see, the other thing I might say, again, I've been into computers 44 years. So I'm less likely to lose my mind over it than someone like you, okay, because I've been around them so long. And when I see something's wrong, sometimes I want to tear my hair out over it, but other times I say, hey, wait a minute, what could possibly produce this? Because, I mean, during those years, I mean, my problems that I encountered in computers were when stuff like that happened, to figure out why and diagnose it, find out where the problem was, and go correct it. So I had this massive amount of experience at doing that and looking at these and finding no answer. I said, okay, let me go to conspiracy and let me act on that and interject, like I did with these messages, interject into the messages in case that's the problem. In other words, I'm testing my computer when I do that.
Right, reasonably and rationally.
And my computer comes up, and it gets better. Well, if I test my computer in a fashion and it comes up and gets better, then I kind of have to assume what I did to fix it has at least something close to a basis in reality.
Well, I think that I think that's reasonable. Now, are you still on dial-up?
No. I'm back on dial-up.
Okay. Well, when Peter was talking about the fact that, you know, he's dial-up and he has these problems.
Oh yeah. Well, see what they do. He was talking about port probing, and that's the common way of getting in. Generally, you have a sweep, like he mentioned, a sweep. Everything in the United States, or you know, everything with the first number of 187 or something, and just go sweep them all, probe every one of the 65,344 ports, something like that, of everything under that number, and let's see if anything's open. Let's find a way to get in.
Okay, but Benedict, the same question I put to Peter. Why? What is their interest in this? What can they do with it?
Two answers. Number one, the government, it's obvious. I don't think I have to answer that. You know, they have an interest in everything we're doing. They always have. I mean, I don't figure that it's just Bush. I mean, there's always been an interest in the government. The other one, kids get on video games. They you know, shoot 220 of whatever they do. They're attracted by the action. Okay, and some of these people will, just for the attraction of the action, get in and try to do this stuff. Now, I don't think other things I'm talking about here were anybody trying to get in on the action. What Peter was talking about with the port probes, a lot of that, most of that, almost all of that, probably was just people just wanting to get in on the action. A lot of that stuff comes out of Europe. Sometimes.
Yeah, but what about Halliburton?
I used to blog heavily, and I Halliburton wasn't really a name back when I did, but I had DOD come into my site a lot and stuff like that, and never messed with it. And I managed to chase down one of them, and it was just a person in DOD who was interested in what I was writing. And you know, it was always like 3 o'clock or something, East Coast, you know, towards the end of the day, and I guess they were just finished with their work and they were scanning stuff, and this one person just liked what I was writing. I mean, liberals work for the DOD too. You know, some of it is as harmless as that.
Does that explain the UDP packets?
UDP is something very different. UDP is just a burst of a message, if anybody answers to this, okay? As opposed to when you click enter on your computer, you send a message out, your computer is waiting to get something back, it gets a message back, then your computer says, yeah, I want that. Okay, that's how a firewall works. It knows that you sent a request out, and when that request comes back, it has a bunch of numbers on the front of it, and your firewall knows, yes, that came out of here, so let me let that back in. UDP is a different type of format where it works a lot on, like, P2P networks, where other people on the network are looking for people to trade with, and they use UDP. If anybody answers to this UDP packet, that means they're interested in trading with me. I mean, that's the normal use of it.
Right, but this is stuff that was hitting Peter on a regular and routine basis and continues to do so, that traces back to DOD and Halliburton.
Now, you can cloak your IP. I mean, you can falsify your IP. Okay, so I'm sure Peter is using IPs and that, like I did, to find out DOD. And in fact, DOD and Secretary of State, I got both of them on my blog, you know, and traced them back. Like I said, Halliburton wasn't that big a deal when I was doing that, and I never noticed any, and I'm not saying they didn't, but it could be people, like I said, just looking, hey, I like this stuff. And like I said, people in these departments, they're not all cons. You know, a lot of them work there. If you want an example of that, look at Ray McGovern and all these people who have said, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this job anymore. You know, they're high level, so they make news. Other people might be the same thing. They're not happy, and they're looking for a better voice. And where are they going to look? They're going to look to you. They're going to look to myself, Tom Hartman, you name it. They're going to look places like that. UDP, that's usually kind of a trading thing, though. So,
very interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, I can't guess at why somebody might use UDP to try to come in. But UDP doesn't really come in. It just says it's just an offer. And if it's refused, whoever offered it ignores the fact that they even offered it. Okay, that didn't happen. The real probes, the ones that are really trying to get in, mostly your firewall can work on that. But of course, like I said, my firewall not only got destroyed, but everyone I tried to put up after it didn't work either. So they had buried something very, very deep in my computer that nothing could work out other than this manufacturer's restore.
Well, Benedict, I certainly do appreciate all of your thoughts, and this is. Like I said, these are freedom issues. This isn't just techno-babble.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You know, but I just wanted to tell you, the one thing I can advise you, based on when my firewall got broken like that, back up your stuff. Just back up your stuff. Be really consistent about it. Just keep it backed up. The chat rooms, the forums, back everything up as often as you can afford to do it, because you'd never know when something like that's going to hit you. They don't announce themselves. They just come through and they slam you. So just keep a good backup, and it's going to be a pain in the butt to restore, but you'll be able to.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you're doing well. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Okay. Good talking to you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our good friend Benedict at Large, I'm sure many of you have read his thoughts and read his writings, and the trenchant and serious analysis. And you know, I am not well versed as far as computers are concerned, but I know enough to know that everything we do runs by them, on them, and everything you hear is a function of their functionality. And I get very, very perturbed and very, very creeped out when I think that your right to freedom of expression via this network could possibly at any time ever be taken down by some nefarious hand in government or in the private sector. And don't think for one minute that there aren't entities out there that would like to see us stop doing what we're doing. And those entities have to do with disliking our politics, with disliking the fact that we believe almost more than anything else that the working men and women are the heart and soul of this country. Now, I've got an email here from our good friend Tosh asking a very simple question for the free market people and the freedmen's and so forth. Why is it that if free markets are so great, our most free states, you know, right to work, that kind of thing, mainly in the South, are still some of the poorest and most persistently poverty-ridden states in the Union? Why is it that higher tax states and more regulated states like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and even Maryland beat those states on every positive economic metric? and yet these people persist in opposing at every turn organized labor, the right to freedom of association. You know, your freedom of speech and your freedom of association go hand in hand. Let's go to the phones for just a couple more minutes before we wrap things up. Spike is calling from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Gonzo, greetings. Long time no speak. Getting tough.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, busy working on a campaign, and it's more or less crunch time to get enough time to get signatures to get on the ballot, so I've been kind of busy lately, so...
Well, that's great, though. Are things proceeding well?
Yeah, so far so good. It was tough for us here because we had that big snowstorm on the 13th and 14th. And see, the problem was is we couldn't get signatures until the 13th. So basically, we started off the day in Pennsylvania with 3 days where it was disastrous to try to get signatures for a ballot, and they have to be in by March 6th. So, getting stuck on the highways isn't the only problem that occurred from that snowstorm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I could well imagine.
So it's a bit much here. I mean, and worst of all, we didn't get that much. This wasn't even all that bad of a storm, but who knows what goes on. It's the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Yeah, you have to be here to understand how something this stupid can happen. But, yeah, I also haven't really gotten to say too much about the whole the vote in the Senate. I got to watch some of that this past weekend when I wasn't busy on the
season. Yeah, we haven't hit that a whole lot, and frankly, I expected I expected this thing to fall short because the remaining reptilicans in the United States Senate, as usual, care more about their political party than they do about their country or about the kids going over and coming back shattered, broken, and or dead. Yeah, this is what they do, isn't it?
More or less. And the thing I find most interesting, though, is how many of them are still blindly going with the fringe. You know, they're so married to that 30% of America that they're forgetting about the other 60-something.
Well, and you put it very well, Spike. They are a fringe group now, aren't they?
Essentially, yeah. I mean... Yeah, obviously, John Warner. I mean, there's a few of them that have on the Republican Party who have figured out, okay, this isn't a good idea anymore. But it's the overwhelming majority in office are still beholden to that 30%. So I suspect that in the next few years, a few more of them will no longer be holding office when they keep things like this up. Because apparently, they think that the Tip O'Neill book only applies to Democrats, and they don't understand that. That was really just the pocket guide to the career politician if you want to keep a job, hold an office, and these idiots are too incompetent to hold on to something like that. They can't even figure that out. They're going to be so loyal to such a minority group that they're going to sell themselves up the river, and I can't wait to give them the push right off the dock, and hopefully they come in very quick, very swift. And perhaps doesn't quite clear the bridge quite enough for their head.
shove hard, Spike. Shove hard. It's so good to hear from you, man. We're just out of time. I'm sorry. I hope you'll call back and we'll have a more fuller, more fleshed out conversation.
Hey, it's good to talk to. And real quick, a buddy of mine. He's a good talker. He doesn't normally do political radio, but Patrick Morrow may no longer be on the radio soon. And he's a great progressive mind. And I know Sarge knows who he is. And everyone should look into nagging people to give him a show somewhere. He's a really good talker, and he's good at sports, too.
Patrick Morrow.
He even works as a video game journalist. He's based out in San Francisco is where he lives. He's a pretty interesting guy.
Okay. Well, thanks, Spike. You have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Bye now. That's it. Thanks, everyone. And wow, what a mind-bending topic we found our way into this evening, huh? And don't worry, we'll do some prayer meeting stuff maybe tomorrow evening, because I got a dandy here, and maybe we'll just open the show with it tomorrow night. Can't just leave this kind of stuff alone. At any rate, my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes, produced the program. It was engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold, you heard him, is our IT professional. And Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of every single program on the Head On Radio Network. If you appreciate this, pay attention to the fact that he's got a fundraiser going on. Help him out. All the programs on the Horn come to you because there are several thousand dedicated, patriotic members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. And they get up every day and they go and they build the American dream. And by supporting this network, they're trying to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all.
Listening to the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.